This podcast is brought to you by JList.com. JList.com is a great source for so many pieces of anime merchandise, and they have a lot of Sailor Moon stuff right now. They have Sailor Moon plushies. They have Sailor Moon rulers and school supplies. They have high-end figures. They've got Sailor Moon cups and other kitchenware. They've got Sailor Moon stickers and stationery. They even have makeup products. Head over to JList.com right now if you're a big fan of Sailor Moon, and you might find something perfect for you. And now it's time to start the podcast. I just want to say that I grew up in epically redneck West Virginia. There were no Costcos. We barely had a mall anywhere. You know, like, my Costco was going out in the woods and shaving the bark off trees and making my own furniture.
Oh.
Three years old with an axe out in the woods chopping down lumber, making myself some play toys.
Oh, lumberjacks.
Oh, yeah.
Lumberjack
and
mitts.
And I'll tell you what, 3 years old or not, if you don't think that chopping down trees and shaving the bark off, making your own little wooden toys with its little wheels, if you don't think that'll put a beard on a three-year-old, you're damn wrong.
Yahoo! Minna! Anime Addicts Anonymous no live broadcast! Kikanaito! Naichau yo! You are listening to the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. Make your anime addiction worse at aaapodcast.com. And now, here are your anime addicts.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to the 483rd episode of the Anime and Addicts. Addicts?
Addicts, baby.
Doing great so far. Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast.
Oh, yeah.
What is our mission, peoples?
To make
your
anime.
Oh, my God.
Make it worse, baby. Make that addiction worse.
Stumbling out of the gate, baby. What style?
Well, here's what I'm going to say. It's all my fault because I am having gone for how many episodes? Two in a row? God damn.
You're throwing it off now.
I'm throwing it off,
welcome,
guys.
Welcome.
It's to make your anime addiction worse. That's what it is.
Make
your anime addiction worse and tell your friends. Tell your friends about this podcast.
Yeah,
and get them addicted to us as well.
Yeah.
But I am Mandy, just a host of one out of four. And I am joined by some other friends. And we have, up first, we have Mitsugi, who did not drown, thankfully, this weekend.
I didn't drown at the
but
water
he is
park.
Very burned.
Hideously sunburned. I'm disfigured. I'll never be the same again.
I had
my whole body was covered in heat rash, but I have survived, and I am still one in a lovely bunch of coconuts. And I'm here to spread my milk upon you all like a sweet nectar of anime goodness. Amen.
All right.
That sounds sticky.
I feel dirty.
That was a lot.
We all need showers
now. That was a lot.
You also heard a Mason.
That's me.
What's up, Mason?
But no one cares about that. And I don't care about what you guys don't care about. I care about two things right now.
Oh.
One, memes. Okay. Two, you, dear viewer. So right now, before I forget, I have a really dumb idea, and I'm giving it out for free right here. So listen up. If you're sitting down and have artistic / Photoshop skills, you know how on, like, stickers on cars, those bumper stickers, they show, like, a Bigfoot or an alien spaceship, and they say, like, I want to believe or I believe? And I want someone, and by someone I mean you, to make a version of it like this. So you got your character, right? Or an alien, I don't care. But he's Naruto running into Area 51. But you make it say, I believe it. So you got the crossover.
It.
You got the memes, you got the aliens, you got the nerd crossover appeal with the anime. This is perfect. This is free clicks.
Does it have to be
chuckles.
Naruto? What if
just a Naruto running devil. Because it's I believe with the alien and believe it with the Naruto run. This is next level memery.
I feel like that meme would
make it.
You have
like 2.5 hours right now. Start it now. Make it. Show it to me.
What if it's the Devil Man Crybaby run instead?
But he doesn't say believe it.
You're right.
That's why it has to be Naruto.
Hey, we're going to be doing impressions.
Impression time. Believe it.
Oh, I see, I see.
Get
I,
it?
Okay, I
get
understand
it?
Now.
This is next level. Yeah. Please make it happen. You're welcome. Okay, I'm
Speaking
done.
Speaking of memes, we also have Enzo. welcome back.
Professional transition.
The biggest
there,
meme
my
of us all.
Yeah. The biggest Yo, meme.
It is actually so good to be back. I am so, guys, I get it. I'm sorry. I missed the podcast for 2 weeks. I was moving and then I didn't have my internet set up last week. So I just couldn't
How dare
do
you?
The podcast. I know. I'm so sorry. But I'm here
back.
Now.
Shame.
I'm here now.
Oh, shame.
I deserve it. I deserve it. I was a bad nerd. I feel like if you're a good nerd, you call ahead to have your internet installed before you even move in. But nerd I didn't alert. Do that because I'm stupid. Anyway, I'm back. Life is good. Life is chaos and crazy, but I've been having a good time. I've been watching some anime, you know, for you guys. So here
anime,
I am to talk
baby.
About it.
Good, because
yeah.
that's what we're going to talk
that's
about
we
today.
Got, we got to talk about the anime.
So if you would like to join us, if you'd like to become a part of the Anime Addicts Anonymous, I'm going to mess up that name all day. Our own name. I had one job. And
have,
I failed at it.
You've had too much coffee. Take the coffee away from me.
Yeah,
I am. I am on my second cup. So good luck to everybody. if you'd like to join the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, I got this. You can go to aapodcast.com/join where you get a bunch of different additional episodes. You can get hentai episodes. Yeah. We have one coming up tonight. And we had one last week as well where we review hentai.
Yeah.
We had Hobby Addicts Today, which you could also get, where I talked about Gen Con. Mitsugi talked about his water park experiences. And Mason talked about the new Quentin Tarantino movie, and Enzo,
I was watching esports.
Did his thing.
He was watching esports.
No,
being watching, very professional.
I was watching League of Legends while they were talking about their hobbies. It's fine. I was doing my hobby live, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can also get after party episodes, and it's about up to 8 additional episodes per month for like less than $1. So come help and support us.
Yeah.
You can also go to our Facebook at facebook.com/group/AApodcast. You can go there and talk with our other addicts. You can also go to Discord. We have a fuck ton of stuff going
yes,
on.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
It's high school.
Ton.
The Discord is anime high school. It really is. It's just
it really is.
It's just what it is.
So you can go to if you go to our website at aapodcast.com, there's a button at the top where you can click to get the link to our Discord. We have so many clubs going on. We have a health club, we have a manga club, we have an anime club, we have so much, and plus tons of conversations. Everyone's lovely and great. What is the current update with health club, my soul?
Well, episode 5 just aired, so that routine just went live, and we're almost at like the half
for dumbbells.
Yes, for dumbbell nankilomotoru. So we're almost at the halfway point. So at this point, you are either on board or you are just lying to yourself. So if you don't want to be a
Damn.
Weakling, I urge you. I'm not asking nicely anymore. Please.
You're either in
it.
Or you're either in or you're out.
I like this metaphor that the Discord is the high school setting, and you don't want to be part of the go home gang because that's no
go
fun.
Go home gang is whack. Go home gang
it's
is
school's
whack.
In session.
Literally
and
weak.
Mason's about to teach you your first
actual
lesson.
Weaklings.
Exactly.
You can also come to my manga club, which is every other Wednesday. This Wednesday, we have Battle Angel Alita coming up.
Oh, sick. What?
So that'll be a lot of fun. If you would like to join us, if you're listening to this live, you still have time. Go to the Discord, go to the Manga Club channel. We have the pin notes there. You can see what chapters we're reading, what time we are doing this, and
10 p.m. Eastern time this Wednesday, the 7th of August, so...
Thanks, Mason, for jumping in on my club.
Sorry. I'm just excited because I can actually make this one now. I don't have hockey that week, so I will be there in the flesh.
Yeah, it's usually Mason and I, and it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of good conversations.
Oh, yeah.
So, but if you're listening to this on Thursday, it'll be unfortunately too late, but you can come to the next one. The next one, we're reading Nausicaa.
Oh,
so that'll be great.
Okay.
I actually have not read the manga for that.
It's so
but
good.
I hear good
it's,
things.
It's like a masterpiece.
That it is.
I
Who
hear
would have
that.
Thought, huh?
I heard Mitsugi approved this.
I did. And
we also
and Nausicaa
had...
is one of my few waifus, so be good to her.
It's a good one. It's a good one to have.
Yeah.
We also have Anime Club, which is run by our friend Icy Rose. And we had the first meeting last... That scares me every time. We had our first meeting last Wednesday, which was for Razaphon, the first 5 episodes. Thank you, everyone who showed up. It was massive. We had so many people there. It took us like 3 hours to go over the entire discussion. And it was so many, such a large variety of opinions. Some people loved it, some people hated it. So it was really good discussion.
It was super interesting and insightful. Like, so many times I just heard people be like, wow, like, I didn't even consider that. Or
I didn't even think of that.
Like,
yeah,
like, I appreciate this story so much more.
Huh. I was going to say, you milked 3 hours out of that anime?
Yeah.
All right.
So the next one will be Chihaya Furu, and that will be on August 14th, 10 p.m. EST. Come to our Discord, check out the pin notes. That'll be so much fun because I love Chihaya and I'm excited to talk about it. So giant thanks to Icy for leading it.
Oh yeah, he killed it. I do want to mention though, right now, personal view, the first 3 episodes of Chihaya Furu are vastly inferior to the rest. This is because they are like a flashback when people are like children and they come off as brats, and it's not how the show is at all. So just please stick through those 3. Once the show shifts to present day, it's all great. It's one of the best sports anime out there. More interesting and more consistent and more better than Haikyuu.
I agree with all of this.
I'd argue.
Damn, those are hot takes.
Not a sport.
I'm ready for this spicy.
See you there, Chief.
Spice Boy Mason. So, yeah, you could do that. Also, Icy has put up notes in our show notes about the World Cosplay Summit. So if you'd like to check out our show notes, if you're subscribed to us, you can check that out as well. Hopefully, we will have time to discuss it maybe next episode. We're so packed today, we didn't have time.
We're always packed.
But I know he's excited
about it.
We packed, baby.
So yeah, we have a lot of fun stuff coming up this episode because in honor of this just horrific weather, we will be talking about the worst climates in anime. So
global warming
will be our main
real.
Topic.
No,
it's
not at
a
all.
Myth from what I hear.
Yeah, it is.
It's a myth, like the Loch Ness Monster in North Dakota.
Yeah.
We also have some great impressions coming up. Do you like your mom and her 2-hit multi-target attacks, Dr. Stone Copcraft?
I've heard great things about that one.
Which one?
The mom.
Oh, yeah. It's so great. I can't wait
Mama.
To talk. We also have Fire Force and Given. What are these, the stuff in
I went and watched Kiki's Delivery Service in theaters.
I bet that's
my
so great.
Dude, how beautiful.
Oh yeah. On the 29th.
We were also at the movie theaters this weekend. I saw all of the Ghibli stuff up. I'm kind of sad we didn't go see it.
Listen, people, I know a lot of you guys haven't seen the Ghibli movies because, oh my God, Kiki's Delivery Service, 30 years old, blah, blah, blah. Listen to me. These movies are so, I'm just going to make a broad sweeping statement.
Charming.
Here. They're so much better than the 99% of what you ever watch in anime that it's just, it's almost insulting to compare Kiki's Delivery Service to like most
That's
movies.
That's an opinion.
It is,
That's
fine.
An opinion.
It's an opinion, but like, you know, but I'm just saying that these movies are in theaters, so you have no excuse not to watch them.
Put some respect on the name, you know what I'm saying?
Totoro is coming to theaters on August 25th, 26th, 28th. In September, they're doing Arrietty. In October, they're doing Spirited Away. In November, they're doing Princess Friggin' Mononoke. And in December, they're doing The Tale of Princess Kaguya.
Love that.
And
yeah, Kaguya's dope.
Listen to me. Studio Ghibli is god tier for a good reason. And I'm just gonna assume a lot of people haven't seen the Ghibli movies. We've done polls. I know it's true. They're in theaters, and they're not, and it's not like they're in a couple theaters either. They're nationwide. It is in a theater near you. I guarantee it. You should go watch it. And another PSA, Millennium Actress. They also do a Satoshi Kon movie every year. Millennium Actress is coming to theaters on August 13th and August 19th only. So
I am going to go see that for
Real
sure.
Talk.
I'm going to go buy
the ticket.
It's my favorite Satoshi Kon
film.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That movie's amazing.
Another damn masterpiece of a movie. So,
is that one still impossible to find on Blu-ray, or is that one like you can buy that easily?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but the pretty damn good movie. And and these movies, they do look good on the big screen. They're meant for the big screen, and I recommend it highly. Get out there, edumacate yourself on some Ghibli and on some Satoshi Kon by seeing these movies in theaters. You won't regret it, guaranteed. So. And besides, My Neighbor Totoro's next, and Totoro is kind of like, I mean, it kind of started it all, you know what I mean, in a way. So, yeah, go do it. All right, that's my PSA.
Did anybody have anything else before we jump into big news?
Nah, nope. Let's do it.
I'm going to take that as a no.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
It's time for big news of the week.
This big news of the week is Monster, JoJo's, and more creators will be drawing the 2020 Tokyo Olympics and Paralympics posters.
Yes.
JoJo's creator Hirohiko Araki and Monster's creator Naoki Urasawa are just two of the 18 artists that will be working on the 2020 Olympic and Paralympic posters. Urasawa will be creating a poster highlight for the Olympic Games, while Araki will be providing artwork for the Paralympic Games. Mm. And the Tokyo 2020 official art poster project is bringing together a bunch of artists, domestic and international. And the full roster, which you can find if you go to, I think there's an article in Anime News Network, if you want to go check that out. It has a full roster of everyone who's going to be there. But it's a bunch of talented artists and graphic designers from all sorts of areas, from both anime and outside of anime. And yeah, Araki previously drew the poster for the 2016 National Disabled Persons Sports Festival.
So
it's a really cool picture.
It's not a spoiler, but one of the very prevalent characters in one of the upcoming, as in not yet adapted to anime, JoJo parts, is paralyzed from the waist down. So he definitely has an interest and expertise.
Is that
in
the character?
Yeah, one of the characters in JoJo is paralyzed.
I mean, in the poster that we have?
Oh, no, I don't think it's been announced yet.
Okay.
If it will be that character or not.
Okay. I'll put up the picture. Oh, nope, I didn't save it. I gotta do that before I can put it in our live stream notes.
Man,
I'll put up a picture in there.
You just couldn't have had a better country to make cool promo art than Japan. I mean,
I know, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it's like you gotta
slay that shit.
You got a million of these famous artists. They all have like their own art styles. Like, you can totally tell, you know, just from looking at the poster, you know that it's Araki. I mean, it's pretty clear. And it's just, you know, you have this plethora of famous artists and comic book artists and creators that are just so willing to help out, you know, just because they're so proud of their own country. And it's cool to see all the artwork. I'm really enjoying looking at all of it. This one looks really cool.
Yeah.
Track and field, I think. So, interesting.
I also just love JoJo artwork. So it'd be really
so
stylish.
Good, yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah.
I'm still trying to go to that 2020 Olympics. We'll see if that happens. We'll have to see.
We'll have to see.
But yeah, so up next we have Enzo Senpai's Notice Me Corner.
Let's
Are you ready?
It.
It's been
Let's
a long
go.
Time.
Yes, I'm so happy to do it again.
So many people they're desperate. They're desperately seeking your attention. Enzo.
Have you guys done it the last two episodes?
No,
we're
we didn't.
Not
oh
doing
my god,
it.
I'm so
we're
so
not doing it without the Enzy.
It's well, you. They don't want our attention. They need your attention.
Gotta give it to the people.
Join us in Enzo Senpai's Notice Me Corner.
Oh my
Yay.
God, I love doing this. Welcome to this is Enzo Senpai's Notice Me Corner, where you guys can just write in to me and I will read the thing you wrote, which is an accomplishment, something you're working towards, or something you're just very proud of that you've done. You know what I'm saying? Because we want to celebrate you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You guys are our lifeline, celebrating you. So this one comes in from Chris. Very unique name.
That's right.
And they say,
so he's like, hey, now, that's my name.
Hey, I got that at birth, mister. That was my first birthday present, and I like it.
Yeah.
Sorry, you know, I roast out of love. Everyone that knows me knows this. But Chris says, so this year started well, got an excellent yearly review at my job, and won two awards at said job last year.
Damn.
So job-wise, doing really well. But today I took my youngest daughter, who was 10 months, to Costco for the first time. And I think that's pretty awesome for some reason. Huzzah.
Sure, why not?
Here's the thing, though. I will say, when I was younger and I was a kid, I loved few things more than being taken to giant stores, because it's like... my imagination would just go crazy. Like, being taken to like IKEA when I was like 12 was like the shit, because it was like so many like sets to like imagine shit in. So I get it. I get Chris. I get you. You're the best. Keep being a good father to your daughter, or Chris could be a girl name too. So keep being a good parent to your daughter, and make sure that when she listens to podcasts for the first time, you know what to cue up. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Okay. thanks for writing in. If you guys want to write in, go to the website, aapodcast.com. And at the top, you'll see a button that says mailbags and more. And then you'll be presented with an option to write into Enzo Senpai's Don't Roast Me Corner, which I love. I love this segment so much. I miss it every time I don't do the podcast. So
Thanks for writing in.
Thanks, Chris.
For writing in.
I just want to say that I grew up in epically redneck West Virginia. There were no Costcos. We barely had a mall anywhere. You know, like my Costco was going out in the woods and shaving the bark off trees and making my own furniture.
Oh.
Three years old with an axe out in the woods chopping down lumber, making myself some play toys.
Oh, lumberjacks.
Oh, yeah.
Lumberjack
and,
mitts.
And I'll tell you what, 3 years old or not, if you don't think that chopping down trees and shaving the bark off, making your own little wooden toys with its little wheels, if you don't think that'll put a beard on a three-year-old, you're damn wrong.
You're damn wrong, dude.
But you had to shave off.
It's time for hot new anime releases.
moving swiftly along.
Very swift.
We have some great hot new anime releases. This one is really funny. My next life as a villainess, All Roots Lead to Doom. It is a light novel and manga series, romantic comedy. It's getting a release in 2020. The staff and studio have not been announced yet, but there has recently been an explosion of isekai manga that feature female leads being sucked into their favorite otome games. And this is the first one of those to get an adaptation.
Sounds like a
porn. And the plot goes... Does it?
Yeah.
Which one?
Just, I don't know. Girls
what?
Being sucked into their favorite otome games.
Getting sucked into your otome game?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Oh. This is not a porno, but
it could be.
The plot goes, after hitting her head particularly hard one day, Duke Clay's daughter, Katarina, suddenly recalls all the memories of her past life, that of a teenage Japanese girl. Just before her untimely death, this girl recalls playing an otome game. That is exactly like the world that she is currently living in. She is now Katarina Clays, the antagonist of the otome game, who nastily hounded the protagonist until the end. Knowing all the possible outcomes of the game, she realizes that every single possible route ends with Katarina being murdered or exiled. In order to avoid these catastrophic bad ends, she has to use her knowledge of the game in her own wiles, starting with breaking off the engagement with the prince. Will Katarina survive while making her way through the world, where every bad flag trips at every turn? So, it's funny, because my manga minute that I'm doing today has a very similar plot to this. It's funny, because
That's so weird.
A while ago, I mentioned, to my friends, to a couple of the other ladies in our Otome Discord group, I said, have you read this manga, the one that I'm doing for my manga minute? And somebody else said, oh yeah, but they were talking about this manga. That's how closely related they are. It's really funny. We didn't find out till much later that we were both talking about completely different manga. But up next we have Hatage Kemono Michi. This is an anime adaptation of a comedy manga, and I don't have the English. What do you think the English title of this is? Would be?
Hatage.
Would Mason know?
Kemono Michi. Yeah, Mason, translate.
I do not know.
I'd like to see the kanji for that. Let me pull that up.
Real-time translations.
Well, Hatage Kemono Michi, if I stumbled through it the first time. Just make it clear. this is an anime adaptation of a comedy manga. It'll be featuring... it'll be directed by Kazuya Miura, who hasn't really directed anything previously, just key animator stuff. It was originally created by three different people: Mosuke Mataku, who worked on Bakken Test; Natsume Akatsuki, who worked on Kotosuba; and Yume Uta, who worked on Bakken Test. I'm so sorry if I butchered your names. But the synopsis goes, masked wrestler Genzo Shibata likes all kinds of animals and creatures. He sounds like me so far, because I am a masked wrestler. One day, he is summoned to another world where a princess asks him to help kill magical beasts. But he gets mad and puts her in a German suplex.
What?
Instead, he begins life as a pet shop owner in another world.
I don't know what hatage means, but kemono michi just means like animal street,
yeah,
or...
animal people.
Well, michi is like road, kemono, like if you've seen Kimono Zume, like that's like animal, so it's like animal road, and like hatage is like raising like a flag, like it's got the kanji for like national flag and to raise, so it's like raising an army or raising a business or of animal stuff. So I'm guessing it's the
pet shop owner.
Opening a pet shop.
Mm.
With abs.
What is this other one that you mentioned, Mitz?
Yeah, well, MAPPA has said that they're going to be doing the second season of Grand Blue Fantasy, which is a pretty big deal because I know a lot of people watched the first Grand Blue Fantasy.
Yeah, it was actually fun.
Yeah, it was one of the highest watched shows of the season that it came out in, which was, it looks like, spring of 2017. And this is going to be coming out pretty soon. It's going to start on October 4th, so you're not going to have to wait very long. And it's got some staff from Banana Fish behind it, so... Yeah, so more Grand Blue Fantasy. So I know that people are, you know, people are probably excited about that. Grand Blue Fantasy, if you had
Grand Blue is a game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's based on a game. For those of you that missed that first one, it's about a world where the islands were, the sky is full of islands, and a boy named Gran is a talking winged lizard named Wyrn lives in a city, an island which yields mysteries. One day they come across a girl named Lyria. Lyria has escaped from an empire, a military government that is trying to rule over the world using powerful military prowess. And in order to escape from the empire, Gran and Lyria head out into the vast skies holding the letter Gran's father left behind, which says that I will be waiting at Estalucia, the island of stars. So it's a fantasy show, and I just know a ton of people watched it. So it's... pretty big deal. I think it was a Sega property. And I'm putting my neck out there by saying that, but
I should check it out.
I think it was a Sega game. I'll look that up just to make sure.
I think I always got it mixed up with the Tales games. Is it by the same people?
I am going to look that up right now. Tales is Namco Bandai. Mm.
Oh, so, okay.
But I'm not 100% sure. But I thought it was a Sega game, but I could totally be wrong. Yeah.
So I misheard it at that. I thought this was the next season of Grand Blue, just not Grand Blue Fantasy.
Oh,
the diving one in college, and I'm like, this doesn't look anything like it.
you guys are completely wrong.
What a sequel, let me tell you.
I guess Grand Blue Fantasy is a side games. It's the same people that did whatever.
Like
the
horse Uma Musume, Horse Girl, Pretty Derby.
They've done a lot of stuff. Yeah. So. Yeah, they're putting a lot of money into anime lately. All right. Lots of new stuff coming out. So,
trivia. Who would like to do that?
I allow me, please.
Go.
I allow you. I insist.
Please allow me.
You're allowed.
I need to make up for everything I've done. Okay, so as you guys know, on the website, aapodcast.com, you can scroll to the bottom, and then you will see a question that we ask you guys every week. This last week's question... I forgot what it was, but the winner was Golden Jedi Link with the answer Orphan. The next theme we're going to be focusing on is, or the current theme, I suppose, is anime dragons. So if you want to keep in touch with that, just visit the website after this episode's done. You'll see the new question up there. Answer it. You'll win fantastical prizes. Fantastical prizes.
Aren't they making another season of Orphan?
They are. Well, it's not anew. They're remaking it,
All right, the first season of Orphan is pretty good. The second season of Orphan is horrendous. So I don't know. I mean, absolutely one of the most tragic just divestitures
just
of quality you've ever seen. I mean, it literally went from...
Does it match up in quality to the video game?
the video game, oh, holy shit.
It's also atrocious, yeah.
That sounds so sad.
No, like, I would say that, like, the first season of Orphan is, a 7 out of 10, and then the second season of Orphan is probably, a 2.
Wow. It's so, worse than, a Psycho Pass or Tokyo Ghoul situation.
Oh, yes.
That's so sad. So. Oh, my God.
Big oof, my dude.
Yeah. Except that Orphan wasn't nearly as big as those other titles, though.
True.
I just hope it gets back, because Orphan's a cool character. He is. So, I hope they get back to the good stuff, you know, and leave all that bad shit behind. So, okay.
All right. So now that we've asked you the website question, we got an in-show weekly trivia question for you that you can contemplate while we go on break. This question is, I just saw Kiki's Delivery Service in theaters. This year marks the what anniversary of the creation of the film? If you're very savvy, Mitsugi spoiled that earlier in the episode. But ponder that. We'll be right back with the podcast goodness, baby. BRB. See you soon.
everybody, Mitsugi's here, and I'm bringing you your first dose of anime news. Leading us off, it looks like Gintama's 77th and final volume of the manga announced that they're going to be having a third film in the Gintama series. It looks like information about the release date and the content and subject matter of the film are going to be released at a different time. However, get excited that even though the Gintama manga has concluded with its 77th and final volume, there's going to be a third Gintama film coming out. Next up, it looks like Studio Kyoto has announced that it's going to be producing a Shin Ultraman, or in English, New Ultraman, film that's going to be releasing in 2021. For those of you that are fans of that property, get excited, because the Shin Godzilla director Shinji Higuchi and his team are going to be working on the project primarily, and Evangelion creator Hideaki Anno is in charge of planning and scripts, and it looks like Anno has already actually proposed a draft of the script, which he completed back on February 5th. So if you're a big fan of Ultraman, look forward to Studio Kyoto and some pretty big names working in that property for 2021. Next up, in some politics news, President Trump has told Prime Minister Abe that he will continue to accept short-range ballistic missile launches. It looks like the reason for this is that the administration wants to keep North Korea engaged in negotiations and prevent Washington's talks with Pyongyang from collapsing. So even though North Korea has launched now three missiles in just over a week towards Japan. So, however, Trump has told the White House reporters that he thinks that it's very much under control. So we'll have to keep monitoring the situation, although things are very tense and lots of people in Tokyo are very concerned about the activities of North Korea. Next up and lastly, Gundam Build Divers Rise, an ONA, is going to be coming out in October, yet another anime with a re-colon in the title, I see. It looks like the series is going to stream on YouTube, Sunrise's new Gundam channel, and the story is set 2 years after the events of Gundam Build Divers, where a new version of the Gunpla Battle Nexus Online game launches, and the story centers on four divers who participate with completely different playstyles and levels. Hiroto is a lone diver, Kazami is a diver that plays in different parties, Mei is a diver who plays the game all day, and Parviz is a shy beginner with the determination to be in the party with other players. So the four are going to band together to form a team, it looks like, with the director of the property being Shinya Watata, who was the director of Gundam Build Divers. So if you're a fan of that property, look forward to Gundam Build Divers, an ONA, coming out on the Sunrise YouTube channel for Gundam. This is Mitsugi, and this was your anime news break. And now, time to get back to the podcast.
Mandy, I've got a great idea.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, what if, now, hear me out. What if we did additional episodes? I'm talking hobby addicts, after parties, maybe even hentai episodes, if you're nasty.
Well, I mean, we already do all of those.
Hold on, what?
Yeah, we've been doing that for, like, years.
How did I not know about this?
You've been in, like, a ton of those episodes.
Come on, Mandel.
My name is Mandy.
Okay, Medward. You know I don't pay attention to things like that.
Like yourself speaking?
Huh? Well, I'm glad now we're making millions off these extra episodes.
Actually, they're only like a couple bucks a month.
Wait, what?
Yeah, if you go to aaapodcast.com/join, you can sign up to get access to all of our extra podcast goodness for just a few bucks a month.
Whoa, that is a steal. All right, so where do I go to sign up?
I just told you. aaapodcast.com/join. And besides, you're in those episodes.
Huh?
Just go to aaapodcast.com/join already.
この番組は jlist.com の提供でお送りします。
Oh yeah. There Woo! It is. Hit that choreo. One and two. And welcome back.
Get that choreo.
To the AAA podcast. where we have asked you a weekly in-show questions for you to fucking answer. Oh my god.
He's not gonna turn down the music for you.
Oh no,
he's just
letting it happen.
It's just too good.
Here at the AA Podcast, we have top-tier production value where you can see that we know how to mix our volume so well.
Yeah.
So well. Anyway, the question we asked before the break was, I just saw Kiki's Delivery Service in theaters. This marks what anniversary of the creation of the film? Mandy?
The answer is 30.
Oh, 30.
30 big old years.
That's still not older than me.
No, but it's...
Let's get it.
We hit
one,
the climax.
1, 2, 3. Hey,
do those
Pit
Pilates.
Hit the Millie Rock. Hit the Millie Rock. Hey. Let's go. God.
Oh, my God. Give me that 80 synth.
Fucking... Jam,
people in the Discord constantly are asking, oh, where's this music from? Where can I find this? We're just giving the people what they want.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Here, you want a whole minute of that music? Let's get
it. We'll start up a side podcast where we won't talk and just give you our music.
Yeah.
That's probably what they want.
People
anyway.
Probably prefer
what they
that.
Want. Honestly, that's probably what they want.
Just shut your cake hole and play the music.
And me yelling at them to like get the choreo down.
It gets
the
people going.
Cake hole.
Yeah, dude.
Man, I would love some cake. I haven't had cake
in forever. I would love cake.
My lovely girlfriend made me cupcakes yesterday because it was my birthday. What?
Yeah, do you guys know the proper way to eat cupcakes?
Happy birthday.
Okay,
can we sing happy birthday?
No, please.
Can we please? Mason, can you sing happy
birthday? For the love of God, no.
Mason, please do it.
Let's do it because it'll embarrass him. That's what I want.
Oh. Okay, ready? Ready?
Happy
birthday.
Birthday. Happy birthday. To you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
It'll be hilarious because you guys are never going to sing in sync on this recording.
No, never.
Nope.
Guys,
it'll have
to be
one line at a time.
You know what? You just try. And I'll be here.
Oh, we won't be in sync.
He would just smite
us
and just like change all our audio levels and like add... Mm-hmm. Auto-tunes and make it sound horrible.
Here's what I will say. Mitsuki has an archive of all of us saying dumb shit all the time.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. hundreds of hours.
He turns us into drops.
Yeah, well that's true.
About shitting on people's faces. Yep. I was shit on your face.
Yeah, but I already ate this shit burger.
Yeah, shit burgers.
They're all shit related. It literally is the shit we say.
I mean, what I will say.
What was that?
Diagnose my fetish, Kazuo.
Fuck! Stop.
Senpai!
Oh my god. Senpai, please stop.
I don't even know what's real anymore.
All right.
You don't even know what's awesome.
Exactly.
All right.
I'm ready for my manga minute.
Are you ready?
Are you ready for your close up?
Yes.
And now, let's take a minute for the Manga Minute with Mandy.
This is Mandy's Manga Minute, where I take a minute to tell you about a manga and help you find something new to read. And this one is called The Accomplishments of the Duke's Daughter. After a young woman gets hit by a car, she wakes up in her favorite dating sim as Iris, the villain of the game. Iris decided that rather than chase after the prince, she'll go down a different route, revolutionize society, and save her father's failing fiefdom. Now, it's only Iris's happy ending at stake, Now it's not only Iris's happy ending at stake, but the whole country. Whew, coffee. Accomplishments of the Duke's Daughter is a fantasy manga written by Rhea and illustrated by Suki Umemiya. It is still currently publishing with 6 volumes in Japanese and 3 available in English. The manga is also an adaptation of a light novel series by the same name. During this current isekai trend, we haven't seen a large amount of female leads in terms of anime. But, However, in the manga world, we are seeing a giant increase of stories featuring female leads are getting sucked into otome games. Accomplishments of the Duke's Daughter stood out to me due to the direction the manga takes, because one would assume that if a woman is being sucked into their favorite otome game, she'd probably pursue the main love interest. But Iris decides to take things in a completely different direction and try to start up her own business and better the lives of everyone in her father's domain. Iris is reconfiguring the tax system, boosting the economy, introducing the world to chocolate and how she could use that to profit, and also creating schools, loans, and orphanages for homeless children. So if you're expecting romance, that, from what I've read, it doesn't show up at all in the first three volumes. All of the Otome Games pretty boys are still in the world, but they're very minor characters for Iris to outshine. The manga is a more watered-down version of the light novel, so things do feel like they progress at a very rapid pace. Iris feels like she completely forgot that this was an Otome game to begin with, so it's a bit jarring. But if you're interested in a different kind of isekai than what you're usually used to, you can check this out. The light novel does not have an official English translation yet, but hopefully we'll see one in the future. Man, my mouth exercises during our break did not help at all. I was like, I'm going to stretch my mouth and hopefully I won't fuck up as much. Wrong. It's my brain's fault, not my mouth.
I really like the character designs and the photo you posted.
Thank you. Cool. Yeah, I've read the first three volumes, but I think this one, though, it would not do very well as an anime adaptation. I think the other one was better to adapt because this one is like, all business, really. I feel like if they translate it into anime, there's not much to animate. So it does very well as a
manga. But the taxes. It's what the people want.
But the taxes, yeah. That's what the people want, or more taxes.
Did you guys see that video of that kid playing Monopoly?
Right. Oh, who's just bawling his eyes out. Oh, when
He's crying about having to pay taxes in Monopoly. Oh my God, I died.
Life, man.
I died. It was great. Mm-hmm. All right, so what is this Mason's Weekly Waifu?
Well, you're about to find out. So I've been procrastinating on the details of my magnum opus segment in favor of remedying an anime talking point that has been much neglected on this podcast, the waifu. That's right, folks. Each week until the end of this year, I'll be going over some of my favorite female characters with perhaps a twist every now and then. What makes them so good, and using that as a springboard to recommend the perhaps underwatched shows in which they exist. So for August, the theme is going to be raven hair maidens, that is to say, waifus who possess black hair, but I'm also using this as like a sort of self-introduction, as I relate strongly to all the characters that I'm going to be talking about over this in the next 3 weeks. So the first waifu I want to bring to the battlefield, I guess, is the
titular. Can you play the drop?
Which drop do you want to play?
Play the better.
Oh, for the waifu wars.
You know, the war one. There we go. That is a live recording of our waifu wars
that are soon to be fleshed out. The first waifu is Kino from 2003's Kino no Tabi, or Kino's Journey.
Hey girl, you're looking so fine.
AKA, this show is actually Kino. So briefly, if you haven't seen it, Kino's Journey is about our main character who travels through different countries to experience their customs and understand their histories, but she never stays longer than a couple days, so she avoids like settling down or forming too much of a connection. She does so with her talking motor red. I can't even talk, but her motorcycle can, Hermes, with whom she discusses the philosophy of the places they encounter and forms a partnership with Kino in the form of literal and figurative balance and support. This is a very slow, contemplative show, similar to Mushishi, Habane Renmei, and Girls Last Tour. Most importantly, what makes Kino a good waifu? First of all, happy birthday, Mitz, happy birthday, Mitz, happy birthday to you. Okay,
damn,
there we
right.
go. Got it in there.
You got it out of the way. You snuck that in there. It's great.
So obviously, she has a great character design. You'll soon learn that short hair is besto. She is honest,
false,
composed, loyal to herself and her principles of non-intervention. She possesses empathy and care towards others when she can't afford to do so. But she's got this like secretive mysteriousness that shrouds what she presents to the world in a realistic way that presents a deep and enriching character. Everything she owns, her belongings are simple, efficient, and iconic. She's got this flowing coat to store items and conceal her belongings, this adorable hunting cap with riding goggles, her markswoman collection of firearms with which she is brutally competent, to the motorcycle himself, Hermes, which is like a superior SS-100, which is like the super rare motorcycle that's like an icon of engineering. Like, she's tidy, she strives to maintain order and maintain her physical capabilities. But she's, like, still moe at the same time because she's got the sweet tooth, which prompts, like, a slice of cake or, like, stopping at a dessert shop to give us, like, precious moments of bliss. She's just so great and understanding. And if I could live my life... Go ahead.
Dare you.
Oh, my goodness.
How dare you
my life, like,
even
mention
character. The word moe in this establishment?
Oh, oh. Yeah, it's just low-key enough. It's just subtle enough that you're like, ah,
you're
my heart
a
melts.
Game, Mason.
Oh.
He didn't say moe. He said no way.
I heard what he said. Okay?
She's not moe designed. She's not moe, like, infused. She's just got that little sweet tooth that just is perfect.
Yeah, and I hope she gets tons of cavities.
Oh. Ooh, ooh. Oh. Well, if I could live my life like any character, I would choose to template myself after Kino. Like, if you've ever heard my travel stories, I just love wandering the streets of where I visit, like soaking myself in the culture and surroundings as I move through an environment. Like, I watch and I consume the local flavors, and like, often a solitary traveler, there's something very untethering about just ending up where your feet guide you, as if free-falling with the crowd and traffic to your next unexpected destination, observing all that happens as simultaneously a participant in humanity but detached from emotional proximity. And she just embodies that, like, travel aesthetic so well, and she's measurably better than almost any character that's come out recently. That she's just a top tier classic waifu that I recommend watching the show on. So if you do plan on watching it, go ahead.
Never mind. You go ahead. Mine isn't important.
I just was going to say, there's, if you do plan on watching this, there is like an alternative series, which is entitled similarly, but with a suffix, The Animated Series, which is like a 2017 version done by, I believe, Studio Lerche. It's fine, but it's nowhere near as good as the original, and it contains some duplicate episodes. So watch the original one by Studio ACGT. The visuals, voice acting, and aesthetics are a little blocky, but they hold up very well and have a charm in the dichotomy between, like, the pastel, soft colors and, like, the real dark philosophical themes.
Hmm. I really love and appreciate that you did this, but I am very offended because you told me you were going to do my wife first, and then you lied.
I did lie because the theme for next month is way better fitting for her.
Oh, okay.
And,
is it women that can kick your ass?
Sort of, kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Do not allow him to suck you into this so-called Kino's journey, a.k.a. a path down the road of pestilence and misery, okay?
Kino's journey is fantastic.
You will find nothing at the end of the moe road other than your own destruction.
Well, they won't be moe.
So say
Kino is certainly not. If you've ever dealt with her pistols... You would be very quick to change your opinion. Also, I'm seeing some people say that her hair is not black, but it actually is in the original work. So it's good enough that I'm counting it.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to tell you that if you think that the Pope of the Church of Mitsugi is so easily going to be swayed into your moe filth harem plotline, okay?
Moe filth harem.
It isn't going to happen the way that you foretold in your dreams, okay?
They take showers. We bathe each other.
On the road that is Moe, there are many pitfalls, and they are all dug by the acolytes of the Church of Mitsugi. May you fall forever into the eternal pits of hell. Amen. For there is no bottom. Your scream shall only be heard for all eternity, echoing forth from the blackness that is the abyss of your own despair. So say the Pope.
Preach. Preach.
Preacher.
So we have a topic.
We do. Let's get to that.
So, in honor of our awful heat wave, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we over here in the Midwest had a heat wave, and gosh, it got up to like over 100 degrees, but we've all been complaining about it, so we decided, let's do worst climates in anime. That'll be fun. We'll talk about anime that seem just horrible to live in.
Well, I'm living in Colorado, so it's not so hot right now. All right, temperature check. You want to play this game? Temperature check.
I'm currently sitting at about 90 in Connecticut.
New York's not that hot today. Let's see here.
Yeah, today's okay. I mean, considering we're at 88 degrees
82 Fahrenheit. 82 in Colorado.
So it's not too bad. Not, I mean, compared to what it has been.
New York is at a nice 73 with light rain.
Damn.
I love it.
Wow, you're spoiled.
Spoiling me.
Living the dream. Light rain.
Light rain, 70-degree weather, baby. That's the aesthetic.
All right. So, yeah, there are some... We've all been living in... And it's been hot here in Colorado, too, to be honest with you, for Colorado at least. I don't even want to know what it's been like in Florida.
Oh, I was going to say, what is it in Florida?
I don't want to... You want me to look? Do I dare?
I can look on my phone while you're going.
All right. So this topic is going to be highlighting some of the more miserable climates and environments that in which anime take place. So... And I think for the most part we tried to stick to like just bad climates, not necessarily like natural disasters or anything like that. But I'm gonna start off.
I'm sorry.
Oh well, that's okay. I'm gonna start off with an.
It's 89 degrees in Florida. Sorry.
Okay, I'm gonna start off with an anime that I've mentioned a few times, and that's the Le Mason and Petite Cubes. Not because it's hot in that anime, and by the way, this is that like 6 minute anime that I told you that won the Oscar for best animated short.
Yeah, it's like 12 minutes, and it's the only other animated thing besides Spirited Away to ever win an Oscar.
Yeah, and it's friggin' great. And in this anime, the whole world is covered with water. Like, there's no land left. It's just been totally... It's like, let's fast forward, you know, 500 years through our fake global warming existence, and this is what the world's going to look like when all the ice caps melt and, like, you know, the water level rises by, like, 300 feet and we're all underwater.
Yeah.
This is what the world would look like. And it's just this guy that just keeps – in his answer to the rising water is just to keep building more floors onto his, like, house. So his house has, like, 1,000 floors on it. And it's just, like, what a shitty life, you know? you're like a prisoner in this house that's basically just a one-room house that's got a million floors with these hatches in the ceiling that he can, like, swim up through. And, damn, like, he's a prisoner there.
Oh, this is the little short. I've seen
this.
Yeah,
like, your livelihood is just, like, constantly building upwards and then moving all your belongings up into a slightly smaller room so it can keep on standing. And that's it. That's all you have to look forward to.
And make no mistake, this anime, it is, this anime is great. It's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
I think it's only, like, 20 minutes?
No, 12. It's like 12 minutes.
12, yeah.
I mean, for what it's doing and for its length, I would personally say it's a masterpiece. Because it's just the message it's delivering is just so simple. But it's a beautiful anime, and everybody should watch Le Mason and Petite Cubes. And if for nothing else, then for the terrible environment that, you know, that...
And he fishes through a floor, a hole in his floor.
Yeah.
And he smokes a pipe.
And he does.
That he loses. That he loses, and that's the whole point.
So to make it easier to look up, just look up House of Small Cubes.
Yeah.
Or Tsukimiki no Ie.
Yeah, this is some good shit, people. This is really good. You might even cry watching this.
Yeah,
it's some feels.
The flood both from the environment, the climate, and your tears really are.
Your emotions will flood forth.
Exactly.
Look at that. All right, now that I've warmed you up with that, let's see what else we got going on here.
My first one is a shit post. I said Garden of Words because it's 45 minutes of just rain.
Foot fetishes.
And the natural disaster known as foot fetish. Yes.
Yep.
They were not clean feet. They were very dirty.
They were quite dirty feet.
I mean, I could smell them.
Some people are into that, though. You know what I'm saying?
Dirty feet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Then the New York Jets head coach.
Exhibit A.
Exhibit A, apparently Makoto Shinkai.
Oh, well. Anyway, what was your first? Do you want to give your actual first one?
My actual first one, Yona of the Dawn or Akatsuki no Yona. There's a major section of the story centered on around the really horrible living conditions in this one village, and that village is suffering through it's just a wasteland of drought and diseases. And the manga goes so much farther than the anime does. So in the manga, there's a great deal where like great deal of it has like you and our band going, like trying to help people in this area and trying to find crops that these people can grow because they can't even grow food. The climate is so horrific. So that's the first one that came up in my mind. I could be wrong. I think it's Kingdom of Saika. I could be wrong about the name of the kingdom, but yeah, that's it. It's really awful.
I watched a fair amount of Katsuki no Yona, but I stopped watching it when it turned into the 2-episode story arc Pretty Boy Festival, like around the episode 17 or so, I think it happened, where it's just like,
Pretty
oh,
Boy Festival?
Pretty Boy comes in. Now we've spent three episodes of mindlessness.
Which one?
Well, I mean, there was like the pretty guy who wore the mask, you know, and he was,
yeah.
There's a whole bunch of them. I don't know. I didn't get through all of them. I gave up. I was like, I can't watch this. It's not for me.
I think it's fantastic. It's a really good manga as well.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
There's great deal amount of political politics going on in it. And there's a great deal of war as well in the manga. I've really enjoyed the manga a lot. I'm still continuing it too. I'm up to book 18. It's a really long series. I highly recommend it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. It is pretty good. And I think for the right person, it's excellent. Oh boy, here comes Mason coming in with his hot takes.
So yes, literally. So I ordered my list from like
literally
the least bad to like the worst climate ever. So this first grouping was just places that generally seem really warm and sweaty and gross. So that includes Gina Village from Gurren Lagann.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Diamandra, which is like the South American inspired setting of like Michiko and Hachin.
Amazing show.
JoJo Part 6 takes place in Florida. So we all
does.
Know how that is.
Yeah, you're
well, also part yeah. 2 is also in a desert.
Well, part Listen. 3 is in.
Oh, sorry, 3, not 2.
In
sorry.
Egypt.
That's what I meant.
Listen, I've heard that's hot.
I got to tell you.
I've heard it's hot.
You haven't experienced misery until you've walked outside in Florida summer in dress clothes for like for more than at least 3 seconds. Because because your underwear is immediately an ocean of
swampy
your own
ass.
Oh my God, dude. It
swamp
is like
ass, baby.
It is go to the bathroom and wring out your shorts worthy of heat.
Ugh,
it is suffering.
No.
And then you get to sit in that all day. That's what it's like
we
living
deserve
in
more than that in life.
Oh, you
See,
do.
The problem is
we do.
People
you need to have the
insane.
JoJo outfits that aerate you with all the holes and openings.
You see, the trick is to be half naked like the JoJo guys. You know
exactly.
And listen, I don't want to talk too much shit on people who live in Florida because I was there for 14 years. But if you live in Florida, you are out of your friggin' mind, and that includes me for the last 14 years. It is too
You've
damn
been saved, though.
Hot in Florida.
He's just playing Amazing Grace in his mind because he once was lost, but now he's found.
Yeah, but now he's found.
And you're going to be found too, Mason, when you hike to the top of the tallest peak in Colorado with me at the end of the month. You're going to be like, damn, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. That's
I would say that my body is ready, but it's not, so I need a couple more weeks of training,
It'd
but I'll
like
get
that.
There.
Yeah, get one of those oxygen masks that make you look like Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
Look like Bane.
That's the only way you're going to be able to train for this. But you're going to be fine.
All right. Mason, you went off on this fucking topic, bro.
I did.
Damn.
But
did.
That's enough for like the... Like, I also had like Trigun on there. That was also kind of a gross place. But that was like the
100%.
The first dab.
I had that one as well.
First dab into stuff, so...
Yeah. Trigun, what's that?
What?
Well, it came out before like before 2009, so I haven't seen it.
He's shit posted.
What's a triple gun? What's a triple gun? Does he have three guns?
What's a double dollar? Is that like $2?
Wow. Deep. That's deep.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So, may I go, Mason?
Yes, you may. I allow.
Oh, sweet. Mason, between you and Man, you guys covered a lot of the ones I thought. I thought of Claymore as well.
Yeah, steal anything you
want.
Oh,
I shouldn't have spoiled that. Whoops.
You're stealing mine?
No, I did
Hang
not.
On.
I'm not. I'm not stealing yours. I just didn't.
I worked hard on mine.
I forget that you did. I forgot you didn't say that yet. But my one that I want to mention is I always struggle saying Gargantia on the Verdurious Planet. Verdurious Planet. Have you guys seen this one?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so I think it's one of the first ones I saw for the podcast, or maybe beforehand. I forget.
This is one of those anime where
there's no way.
The whole point of the show is the plot twist at the end.
Yeah, 100%. But the Earth is basically just fucked here. So that's bad climate. It's the entire Earth is like covered in ocean because reasons. And people live on ships. And the main ship on this one's, I believe it's called Gargantua. Gargantua?
I believe you're right.
So, yeah. So, no, the planet is called Gargantua. And it's all covered in water. Yeah, so that's why it's a bad, because I would be terrified. I'm not afraid of sailing or anything. But if it's my only place to be, I'm going to be like, well, my biggest fear is to drown. So it's like, not it's not it, Chief. It's not it, Chief.
Have you seen the movie Waterworld with Kevin Costner?
Yeah, yes, I have.
That's sure, a movie 100%. That gets a lot of shit, but I like that movie.
It's like, whatever, dude.
It's a wild ride. But yeah,
that's my first pick. That's my first pick is Suise no Gargantua in Japanese.
Interesting. Okay, I have forgotten all about that one, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It's let's not that see great, here. So. The 12 Kingdoms. I talk about this
yes,
a lot.
Yes, dude.
12 Kingdoms is not a very nice place to live. I'll just say that. And mostly because many of the kingdoms suffer from just terrible natural disasters and famine. And sometimes the natural disasters cause famine because it destroys like all the crops and then everyone's starving to death. And it's like if you watch this anime, save for the second arc, which is about Taiki, people are just suffering all the time. Like nothing is good. The land is just, if you look at the land, like generally speaking, when Yoko's like walking around, it resembles like a burned out forest, you know, like where there's a couple yeah. trees sticking up and they're all black and charred. Like the 12 Kingdoms, like, and it's all determined by the rulers of the kingdom. If they're a good ruler, the land is usually good and people are happy and healthy and wealthy. But if it's a bad ruler, and there seem to be an awful lot of them, because the bad ruler is way more interesting than a good ruler, and for a story, it makes for good conflict. There's an awful lot of bad ones, and there's a lot of like just wow, I would never want to live here in that anime. And it's just, and not only will you starve to death, but like yokai will come and eat you. I mean, it's like the worst. It sucks. It sucks bad. Yoko should have died 100 times in that first book that author wrote. But she's immortal, so she can't die. But, like, she literally should have died 100 times. There's scenes in that where she's, like, laying face down in a mud puddle starving to death while, like, animals chew on her. I mean, it's, like, ridiculous. It's about as bad as it gets. So, but The Twelve Kingdoms is a damn good book series mm-hmm. and a good anime, so recommend that very much. And there's another book coming out. It's very long, I'm told. Something like 800 pages or something crazy.
Ooh, so, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be
long. They're all massive. Yeah, they're long. They're like, God, Bible-sized.
Yeah, the fourth book's like huge. The fourth book's like 650. So.
Yeah, it's very thick. It's taking up a lot of space on my bookshelf.
All right.
My next one, I did have down Claymore, and it was like the area of Pieta. And Claymore, I guess for those who don't know or never heard of it, it was a Shonen Jump manga. It also has an anime. It's like 20-something episodes, 25 or 26. But that one's like about these demons that can turn into humans and they eat people. And then there are these like Yoma hunters that are all the ones that we meet are women, I think, if I remember correctly, and they are sort of like have Yoma inside of them. It's been a long time since I've watched it, but they go to fight this war, and like it's actually, you know what, it kind of reminds me, now that I was talking about it, kind of reminds me of The Witcher a little bit.
Of what?
A tiny bit. Of like monster hunters that also have like a part of them that's pretty much like a Yoma that kind of reminds me of The Witcher. But they go to fight this war in the north, and those episodes, like towards the end of the series, it's just the whole area is covered in snow and blizzards, and it's been a while since I've seen it, but I remember them talking a lot about like how cold it is as well. It was really awful. It looks terrible. I don't know why anyone would live there. Because I remember they were trying to defend, like, this, not a village, it was like a city there. So people were living there. But I think they had to evacuate them during that war. But, yeah.
Damn.
Claymore was a show I never watched. I remember when I was in college, people were watching it a lot. And that was, not to date myself, you know, but that was back in, like, 2006. seven or six.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I remember, like, man, now that I was talking about it, I could be completely wrong, remembering, like, incorrectly, but so much of it reminded me of The Witcher, because I remember them having, like, special eyes, too, that kind of look like weird... I think they called them witch eyes, but I can't remember. I remember them looking sort of like cats.
Look with your special eyes. My brand.
Are you thinking of Witchblade?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Witchblade. Fuck, I haven't heard that name in forever.
Yeah, sorry.
Sounds so edgy. I erased that shit from my memory.
I'm sorry to remind you of that.
I was wondering, like, if they use up their powers so quickly, they turn into demons themselves. I remember a lot of them having to take down, like, hunt down members of their order.
I can't wait to hear what Mason's next hot take is.
It's not a hot take, because I'm going cold.
Oh, ice cold, baby.
So, medium shout out to Girls Last Tour.
Oh, I thought about
it's not, like, freezing cold, but it's a little uncomfortably cold. There's lots of snow, but it's okay, because you get the wiggly white boys that or little aliens.
You have a bunch of Masons?
Yeah, yeah.
I just want you to know, I want one so bad. I watched that only, like, what, a few weeks ago?
Yeah, pretty recently.
I binged through it, and I was like, I want one of these little
Mandy,
guys so bad.
Binging an anime?
Wild.
Yeah, right?
But,
wild concept.
More so than the cold from Girls Last Tour, or the cold from literal Antarctica with a place further than the universe.
Oh, good
is
one.
The winter from Hoseki no Kuni.
Yes,
which
I recall.
There's like a couple episode arc where winter descends upon the planet and like these ice flows and like frigid winds just like constantly like come over the land and it's just like not habitable. So like there's not even enough sunlight for the gems that live there to like exist and it forces them to just hibernate. And essentially any climate mm-hmm. that's so bad where all you can do is just sleep, nothing else. That's kind of rough. So
yep.
that was kind of like the cold end of the spectrum for climates that are just miserable.
Hmm. Yeah, there aren't that many. I feel like there aren't that many cold. Well,
there are always like scenes within a thing that it's like, oh, we're unprepared and we're walking through the snow, but they don't usually last too long. I guess Vinland Saga has a little bit of that, but it's.
I was just gonna say that. Yeah.
It's never like a persistent climate that. I don't know. It's usually
you'll
just a little
your ass
touch
off
of snow.
In Vinland, so.
Yeah. I know Katanagatari had like one winter episode, but it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Yeah. I thought about that one too. I have another one that's centered on winter.
All right. NZ Penzi, though.
NZ Penzi.
What you
yeah,
got?
So
what
my
you got, boy?
I just think about. Megalobox is my next one because aside from the city where like all the fancy shit is, like it's literally all like wasteland and like dry like climate outside of that. And it's and every time Joe was in the wasteland like with his trainer or whatever, it just looked so hot. It looks so hot and it looks so dry. Like you like the cracks in the rocks and everything. So I just think. And also, like, it goes hand in hand with how, like, I think, Mason, you probably said Trigun for the same reason, right? Because Trigun is also very, like, dry and, like, hot.
Did we all have Trigun down?
I had Trigun down, too, but
I had it down. It's like, desert wasteland.
Desert wasteland, exactly. Because when I think of Trigun, I think of him and his red coat walking through, like, a wasteland and, like, sand blowing through. So, but Megalobox, similarly, like, obviously not as cool with the aesthetic of, you know, Vash Stampede, but... You know, also has a wasteland, and even more so, it's like it's just a shitty climate because everything that's nice is in this one city, and then everything else is just barren. So that's my goal. Box for me is my second pick.
Nice.
I didn't write this down, but Kamuri Kusa, which was a recent show that I was really intrigued by, but didn't really end up keeping up with because I didn't pass it. But it was that show of the like, holy shit, what was it even about? It had like it had Rin, Ritsu, and Rina, like three little girls. And they were like in that. Did you guys watch that show? And like they're like in the completely post-apocalyptic wasteland, and they can control like colored leaves and shit.
Oh no, that doesn't even sound familiar.
No, yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
What is it?
It came out in Kamuri Kusa. I'll post a link. It came out in the winter of this last winter, And here is a... I'll post a link in the live stream. And...
Yes, please.
It's... You recognize it when you see it. I didn't pass it, but I was very intrigued by it. But that place is, like, horrible. There's no food. There's nothing.
Oh, that was a little short that's, like, 3D CG?
Yeah, it was 3D CG. It ended up being 12 episodes. Okay. And it was a full-length show, but, man, like, there's no food there. I feel like there's not even any sunlight. Like, there's no... It's just everything's covered in like red mist. It's what a shit place to live that would be. Like, wow, that's the worst I've ever seen. That place is like, I don't know. I mean, that's as bad as it gets for real. If you've seen that anime, you know what I'm talking about. And you know, all this hot weather, cold weather, whatever, you know, like this place is the worst. I mean, it is bad. So, you know, these three little groups, but that anime was just bizarre though. I didn't understand what was happening. And it was taking a little too long to get to it, so I had to let it go. I had to let it be free. So,
Continuing with like the winter theme, this isn't the whole anime. There was a couple episodes of Mushishi that were very cold episodes. There was one about a boy who because of the mushi that's inflicted with, he can't feel cold, but like he still suffers from frost bites. So he's always out in this village that is just, it was eternally locked in there's winter every like year. Like it doesn't like ever change. Like it's just constantly snowing and it just looked like a miserable experience.
It's a horrible place to live.
Yeah, when Mushishi does snow, you feel the cold in your bones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They do a really good job of showing, smoke that comes from, like, your breath. It's freezing. and that one, it's actually, the Mushi was causing snow to fall on just the boy. So, like, everywhere he went, it was just constantly snowing on him.
That's so sad.
And then the episode after that, they continued to go with the snow theme, and there was like a Mushi that was trapped this entire area in like an eternal winter, and Ginkgo gets trapped inside there and has to figure out how to get out of this area that's just locked in winter. It's just so cold. A couple episodes are just pure cold. I remember watching it during like winter, and I was like, "This is miserable." Great series, so it's one good. Of my favorites, so but yeah. But I wouldn't want to live there.
Come on, not even for a day.
Not even for a day.
Wow. You liar.
I'm not a fan of cold weather or snow.
But you're a fan of little buggy guys. Spirit bugs.
Yes, spirit bugs that don't hurt me. Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
You know, it's important that they don't hurt you.
But it seems like most of the...
I mean, if they want to give me, like, crazy rainbows, yeah, that's cool.
It seems like most of the bugs in that and in Mushishi are bad. Like, they're always hurting somebody.
Bugs are bad in general, aside from bees. Bees do good
things. Unless they give you your eyeball thing. Back.
Okay.
Okay. Even colder than cold, though, I wanted to give an honorable mention...
Ice cold?
...to all the anime that take place in space.
I really hope... Someone out there caught my reference there.
Colder than cold?
Ice cold.
Ice cold.
All right.
Oh, no.
Okay. No one?
Outcast?
Oh, my God. Outcast, baby. There it is.
I know
Thank
what
you,
you're talking
Mandy.
About.
Thank you,
I chose
Mandy.
To ignore it. Oh, man. It's so funny. Speaking of Outcast, an Outcast song came on. I think I tweeted about this. An Outcast came on, what came on when my mom was listening, and she said, "Shake it like a roly-poly pizza," and I started dying.
Shake it like a roly-poly pizza.
Like a roly-poly pizza. And I was like, "Where did you hear that? It's obviously Polaroid picture." And she's like, "I think I'm hungry."
That's all the logical reasoning. Mandy on Twitter for more hot takes about roly-poly Outcast combo crossovers. That the world
my mom says.
If you'd like, exactly, if you would like me to start a list of shit my mom says, I'd be more than happy to, and you'll get a kick out of it.
Yes, please do. I'm interested
crazy.
To see what Mama
She's
Mandy
so funny,
says.
Especially when she gets really hyper, man. She's crazy.
All right, who's up next?
I mean, I was just going to run through some space places, because those are literally uninhabitable climates. You got
man, yeah, space. What a terrible
memories, especially the first episode, Magnetic Rose. It's really great. Space Brothers, which does a really good job, especially on the moon, the climate there. Yeah. Knights of Cydonia, which is just kind of awful all around. You got Planet Test, which is a space trash man, which is a great show and shows the dangers of it.
Great.
And you got Space Dandy, which is absolutely unrealistic, but it's dangerous everywhere. But my actual next show was actually the trilogy of Godzilla movies that Polygon Pictures and Netflix did a couple years ago.
Those are fun.
Those are actually, as not a big Godzilla fan, they're a ton of fun, and you don't need to know anything going into them.
Nope.
And there's some unbelievably epic moments in there.
Godzilla could get it, dude. Like, he just gets in there.
Essentially, the climate of Earth is so bad because of Godzilla's presence. Like, the whole, like, biosphere, like, bends to its will and, like, makes Earth, like, spectacularly uninhabitable between, like, terrain shifts, fog, electromagnetic fields, and, like, an atmosphere that is, like, impenetrable. And I just don't want to get too into the weeds, but definitely check it out as, like, new environmental, like, disasters keep on appearing because of this giant lizard's presence. And it's a good time.
It's a good time. It is a good time.
Except for living there.
Yeah, except for the people living there. It's a great time.
But from the outside in, you know, good time. I got my last one, and this one's legitimately just from memory, but I'm gonna pick the anime Wolf's Rain from fucking forever ago.
I remember that.
Because please correct me if I'm wrong, but it's usually literally almost always raining in those scenes when they're talking.
Hey,
it's in the name, and they also spend a lot of time up in like the north in like an Antarctica type scenario. It's like place in the snow. So fuck that. I'm good on that. That's it. That's where my memory stopped. The other two I had was Claymore and Trigun as well.
I don't remember rain. I remember a lot of snow, though.
Yeah, snow for sure. I remember snow because I remember they had that
epic
fight.
It's been a long
fight.
Time.
They
God, that's so old.
Yeah, they had
well,
that
for me.
Didn't they fight like a... They fought like a giant, like... Giant, like, walrus or some shit?
You've piqued my interest.
I think they fought like a giant walrus up north or some shit. In like Antarctica or something. I don't know. But anyway, they're always cold and it's wet all the time, I think. I also would say quickly, like going off Mason's theme of space, Bebop's Earth is way hot. It's really hot. So that too. That's it.
I am going to just throw the rest of mine out here because I guess we're pretty much done.
I've only got one left anyway.
But Ponyo, it rained a lot in that movie, and there's like a monsoon.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Yeah, Ponyo. Golden Kamuy, it was just cold. Like, they're sleeping
it's
inside
cold,
of, like, animal.
Fam.
They're sleeping inside of, like, carcasses and shit in that anime. It's miserable. And then Mugen Wakusei Survive is a show about a bunch of, like, middle schoolers who get trapped on an alien planet, and it's just, like, everything's trying to kill them the whole time, and it's just a shitty place to live and be. And I really enjoyed that anime. Probably not very commonly seen, Mugen Wakusei Survive, but yeah, that's a shitty place to live. Like, you're just gonna starve and be eaten by monsters, for sure.
Sick.
Okay, I'm all out.
To quickly run through my last two, one was Children of the Whales, because from what we could see, at least, the entire world is, like, covered in sand now. We don't know what happened to get to that point, but it's just pure sand.
And sand gets everywhere, too.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's just pure sand, and they're all in these little floating or traveling islands that just keep moving. And it looks awful to look on. It just looked also really hot. But the other one was Yokohama Shopping Log. That one is like a post-apocalyptic anime where most of the world has been like destroyed by this environmental disaster, and the sea levels have risen, and everyone lives on these tiny little islands. So of all the people who are still alive, I think most of the people still alive are androids, though. Or no, I'm sorry, not androids. What do you call them? Like,
cyborgs?
Would android be something? No, not cyborgs. Like, AI, I guess it's an android, right?
Don't know. Can't help you. Sorry.
They learn.
Game over, man.
They function like people, but they're robots.
All right, what else?
Robots.
Anything else?
My last one, what I considered the worst place, was Kashurn Sins.
True.
That's,
I have not seen that.
First of all, it's as aesthetically pleasing as the climate is unappealing. So essentially, it takes place after an apocalypse, but this is like next level apocalypse, because obviously it kills a bunch of humans, standard fare, and it leaves like the ones that do survive, like unable to reproduce. Yeah, whatever, seen it before. But even like the robots, which are like highly advanced in like cybernetic capacity, like the oxide in the air just like causes them to rust, so they're like constantly just like wandering this like toxic environment and atmosphere, like searching for like replacement parts to keep them going until they can get to the next replacement parts. Like there's no water, there's devastated plant life, like it's such a bleak looking show. Like there's never sun, there's very little green, like everything is just black and oppressively grim, and it's one of the worst climates to exist within. And that one, I mean, it's literally called The Ruin, so it embodies it pretty well.
All right. Okay, get us out of here, Mandy.
So, yeah, we have a... do we want to talk about the responses real quick? There's only three of them.
Oh, sure.
I see grabbed some responses from people online. Care GW wrote Girls Last Tour, also what Mason said. That Katie Jones wrote Definitely the World of Trigun. I think we all said that. Nice. And also the areas between cities of Mayatome and Mariner Bot, Ergo Proxy. The areas outside the domes are truly a wasteland.
True.
So yeah, we have a intro trivia question, which we'll answer after the break. The film Kiki's Delivery Service is based on what kind of source material? We will answer it after the break.
See you soon.
Hey everybody, Mitsuki's back one more time, bringing you your next round of anime news. Starting us off with some video games this time, it looks like the PlayStation 4 console has finally exceeded 100 million units shipped worldwide. Sony announced this as it announced the results for the first quarter of its 2019 fiscal year, stating that it had shipped 3.2 million units of the PlayStation 4 system during the quarter, bringing the worldwide total to just more than 100 million units. Not many consoles have reached 100 million units, only a handful, including the PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3. Which came out obviously before the PS4. And next up, more video game news. However, this time Dragon Ball's FighterZ related. It looks like Bandai Namco announced on Saturday that Janemba, who is the villain from the 12th Dragon Ball Z movie, Dragon Ball Z Fusion Reborn, is going to be joining the game, the FighterZ game. It looks like you're going to be able to play this character starting on August 8th. So it looks like this is part of the new FighterZ Pass 2 season. And watching some clips of Janemba in the fighting in the game, he looks like a pretty complex, dynamic character. And I gotta say that Bandai Namco really is diving deep to include all of the characters that they want to from the Dragon Ball universe, because Janemba is somewhat obscure from the Dragon Ball Z movie 12. Next up, sticking with video games, just to be fair, the Nintendo Switch console has now sold just around 37 million units worldwide. Nintendo announced this when they were announcing their financials as well. The company revealed that its sales of the Switch were 18 million units for the fiscal year of 2019. The console sold almost 10 million units in the three-month period between October 1st and December 31st of 2018. So it looks like a pretty huge success. The Nintendo Switch continues to roll on, and more success and video games to come in the future, I'm sure. And lastly, with some somber news, it looks like the Kyoto police have named 10 victims who died in the Kyoto Animation fire. They've only announced 10 of the 35 total victims, and people, of course, are mourning all over the world the loss of the talent and the life from the studio of Kyoto Animation. And police have added that they are not yet releasing the names of the other 25 victims due to DNA testing and other circumstances. Or at the request of the victims' families, and we will be talking about this more in an upcoming episode where we talk about Kyoto Animation more at length. But for now, we continue to hope and pray for the families of those that were affected by the Kyoto Animation arson attack. This was Mitsugi, and this was your Anime News Break. Now, time to get back to the podcast.
After a tough day at work, I just want to veg out on the internet. I wonder what kind of weird hentai goods JList.com has on sale.
Kazuo, what are you looking at?
This is embarrassing. It was JList.com.
What was that? Go back to it.
Oh, that was an anime boob mouse pad.
Really? Has it come to that, Kazuo?
Hell no, man. I'm keeping it real. But JList keeps it real, too. Real perverted. They've got hyper-realistic boob mouse pads, sexy pillows, naughty calendars and anime figures, and an array of Tenga products.
Did somebody say Tenga?
Good God. Where did you come from?
That's right, my bald, mid-30-something anime grumpy pants man.
Damn, I love Tenga.
Has it come to that, Mitz?
Hell no, Enzo. I just love to feel the embrace of a Tenga egg when I stretch it over...
Okay now.
Over my bald head?
I think that's even weirder.
Head over to JList.com and get yourself set up with some of the finest Japanese adult products.
Hi, I'm J. Michael Tatum. I play Sebastian in Black Butler, and I'm a total anime addict.
And now, great moments in Anime Addicts Anonymous history.
Do they make reverse kotatsus? A kotatsu that is cooling instead of heating? Just be like, I'm just going to sit underneath here and chill my balls. Yeah.
That's called a refrigerator.
Oh, yeah.
It's called a refrigerator.
Putting my balls in your refrigerator.
Like, just open your refrigerator, stick your leg up on like the countertop with your balls just like hanging free.
One day you're going to walk into your kitchen and you're just going to see my bare ass sticking out of your fridge.
Your 14-year-old daughter comes home with her friend from school, and dad is just sitting in the kitchen with his hairy ass and his balls hanging down in front of the fridge. No, like, Dad, not again!
No, he's sitting on the floor in the living room, and he's brought the fridge with him, and he's like laid it down on top of his body.
Come to sit around the reverse kotatsu together,
oh,
children.
Lord's in heaven.
That would be amazing.
Can it be a father-son edition where, like, the son is on a platform?
That's the advertisement.
And he's cooling his balls, too, in the freezer.
Right. Yes, exactly. And then you have the kid standing underneath.
So the dad's balls are hanging on top of the little kid?
No. Oh, they're not touching them.
It's kind of like an intimate teabag.
Yeah, he's going under the bridge.
And now, back to the podcast.
You know, that
welcome,
drop...
Welcome back.
Yeah, that drop is just a lot.
Welcome back the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast where we sell our own reverse kotatsus.
Yes, of course.
You can get one for you to share with your family.
Yep.
Just indeed. Chill out.
Indeed.
There's a discount if you're a father, you know?
Yep. And if you have a son, you get a 2-for-1 deal on a step stool.
Yeah.
On a
step stool,
on
a
reverse kotatsu.
All right, yeah, so we had a trivia.
Never mind. It's not
joke
important. I was going to say, what if your balls get stuck to it?
We're not
like
responsible.
Like frozen to it.
Yeah, of course.
We're not responsible.
Of course not. We're better
responsible
for ourselves.
Our trivia question. Who wants to cover that?
I got it.
Go ahead.
Let's all do it.
Let's all do it at the same time.
I really
want
to do this, okay? Before the break, we asked you to contemplate the question. The film Kiki's Delivery Service is based on what kind of source material? The answer, Mason, please tell me the answer, man.
It's a novel.
Yeah.
Based on, or written by Eiko Kodono, published in 1985. Yeah. If
Eiko Kodono. I like that name, I'm sorry. I apologize to the person.
Eiko Kodono.
But you have a funny name.
Eiko, I think, is a dope
Eiko
name.
Eiko Kodono. That's the year I was born.
Me too.
Oh.
Oof. Damn.
I'm chilling, baby. So is Mason.
We also have a 5-star review. Because people actually like us.
Wow.
Time for iTunes review.
This iTunes Crazy. Review is brought to you by the Snapback King Z.
Take it away,
Mason said that he really wanted to do this one.
Okay, Mason.
I got this one. It's entitled Much Love. Putting a smile on my face is no easy task, but I do catch myself doing it frequently to this podcast. I'm a person of natural and organic experience.
So, like this music.
So when it comes to the AAA team's chemistry, I know it is nothing but love regardless of opinions. Well, unless you mention Moe accidentally.
Yeah.
Then unless it's Moe, then it's like, just hatred really love, and judgment.
Keep up the great experiences. I can't call it work because I can see that's not how you approach it. P.S. Is there a thing? Is there a such thing as low-fat breast milk?
The hell does that mean?
What?
I've reread this multiple times. Low-fat breast milk.
Did he mean to say?
I don't know if there's supposed to be commas.
Breast milk.
That
low-fat breast milk. Oh,
or he's looking for low-fat breads and low-fat milk like separately. I'm gonna say the answer is 100% yes? Question mark. And leave it at that.
And we'll leave it at that.
Do you think it was an autocorrect and it was supposed to be breast, like low-fat breast milk?
I think.
Oh, for God's sake,
Kings is asking if there's low-fat breast milk in the world. And here's the thing, my guy. No, there's not.
I need a drop of an explosion so I can blow this up.
Do it.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. We're so happy that you listened.
Yeah, glad you enjoy it.
No, he's not blowing up the comment. He's blowing us up. Like always.
Oh,
I'm blowing,
us.
I'm blowing
okay.
up the conversation.
Blowing up our breast milk?
I'm blowing up the breast milk talk.
Oh, okay. Sure. All right, you can cut the breast milk. Cut the
you
breast
know
milk,
what?
Everyone.
You know what? I'm taking control.
Let's do some impressions.
Doing impressions.
Impression time. Believe it.
Believe it, bitch.
Oh, dear. Well,
let me know when I can speak.
I don't want to go first because I only have one. Okay. You guys have...
I have three.
Enzo's three.
So I should go first.
You should go first.
Yeah. So I'm going to go... Oh, boy. Okay, I'm going to start with Given. So Given is an anime... Oh, my Jesus. I closed all my mouth sites.
Oh, God. My Jesus.
Oh, my Jesus. Given is an anime that I actually was made aware of by Mandy a long time, like months ago, dude. And it is from the studio Lerche. Lerche has done some stuff in recent times, and which have been, I think, like hit or miss-ish. I don't have the full list in front of me. But Given is interesting to me right off the bat because the key visual is four dudes laying down in a studio with a drum set, a guitar, a bass, and another guitarist. So immediately I'm just like, oh shit, a music anime.
It's an Enzo anime.
A music anime. Yeah, it's not just a music anime. It is like it's guitars and shit, right? So I'm like, dope, let's go into this. So when the more information came out and, you know, I was made privy to this earlier, is that this is a boys' love show, right? It's
yes,
boys.
Correct.
It's, yeah. So because the manga is so, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So but I'm down as fuck for that. So I was hoping that this would be great. My expectations. I want this to be good because I heard that the manga was like pretty solid. But the synopsis is so terribly written in Mal. And plus, we already described it back when we chose our shows. But basically, this is a show about a kid who has a guitar. He runs into someone that he is attracted to for, you know, several reasons, and that person knows how to play guitar and he wants him to teach him. Here's how I feel about the show. I like it so far. Through episodes 1 and 3, you get really cool like references to bands like the Arctic Monkeys, which is like one of the bands that got me into rock in general when I was younger. You get a really cool jam between the guitarist, the bassist, and the more experienced guitarist called Ritsuka. Ritsuka is an amazing guitarist. Like and it's cool because the jam that the band has is kind of math rocky, which is sick. So I was all in for that. So animation during the musical parts, which is something I'm always worried about too, is actually pretty good. It's not bad. It's not the CG crap, and it's not the fluidity of like Kids on the Slope, but it's solid. You know, it's watchable. It's very enjoying.
It's rotoscoped.
Yeah. Oh, it's ooh.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, nice. But it's not like the level of like Carolyn Tuesday either. Like it's just like it's good though. I like it. It's not bad whatsoever. It's just not the most amazing thing I've seen. All the characters minus the main character, who is Mafuyu, I love Ritsuka. I love the bassist and the drummer. They have such a good chemistry with each other, and they are together a great duo that refreshes your palate whenever you go to them and go back to the main two. So I like their relationship a lot. What I find weakest on the show at the moment through episode 3 is the main character, though, which is Mafuyu Sato. And the reason is I have a thing that irks me when someone can't, like, someone's very, like, immature and babyish in the way they act, right? So, like, Mafuyu is pretty clueless about playing guitar, but that's okay. Like, that's not something I was clueless when I first started, too. But it's just, like, to the level that, to his level of cluelessness is very annoying. Like, it's like he owns a guitar, and I'm sure there's reasons for this that come up later, perhaps.
Yeah,
but
there are.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. So, but at the moment, from what is presented, like, he owns a guitar, but he literally knows nothing about it whatsoever. He Ritsuka has to tell him that these are pegs, these are strings, these strings can change, like, all that stuff. And I don't really believe in any realistic setting that you own a guitar for whatever reason and you don't, you know.
Well, they talked about in third episode why he has it.
I mean, I get the, like, concept of, like, a beginner who has to, like, be taught through the audience. But this sounds, like, to me, similar to, like, Yaomushi Pedal, where this guy is, like, a great bike rider but doesn't even know, like, about shifting gears or how pedals work. Or, like, it's almost too beginner-esque his condition.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like, before I started playing guitar, like, and before I was even surrounded by musicians like the way I am now, it's like, just by living life, like, you know that a guitar has to change strings, or you know, like, you hear that a guitarist broke his string on stage or something, so they have to go change it. So, but that's super minor. It's just an annoyance that I have with his character. But aside from that, everything about the show is, like, pretty solid right now. I like how the story is meshing. The characters talk to each other in a very natural way that I really enjoy. Ritsuka is cool as fuck. I love him. He's great. And his sister is really cute as well, I must say. I gotta say it. His sister's very cute. So I'm very happily passing Given. I'm so happy that we have a music anime. I live for music anime. There are not enough of them. So when they do come out, I tried to restrain my expectation, but this one met it, even though I tried my best to do that. But yeah, so passing Given, very happy to do that. Thank you. Thank you.
Wait. Oh, and boom goes the dynamite.
It's also nice because in a lot of BL series, they totally ignore female characters. But, like, in this one, Ritsuka's sister is great.
She's so cool.
Yeah, so I like that they're also focusing on the other characters. I think the other guys in the band are fantastic, too.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
I love them.
Yeah, no, they're great. And the thing
they'll
is,
get,
like,
more development later on.
Oh,
but
perfect. Yeah, and again, I want to emphasize that they
Akihiko is my favorite character.
Yeah, they're so great because whenever I'm, like, slightly annoyed at how dumb, like, or how ignorant Mafuyu is about the guitar shit, when they cut to those two, it's just like, oh, wow. Like, this is a great chemistry of characters.
Well,
and
Mafuyu,
they cut back to Mafuyu, and I'm like, oh, this is fine. I'm refreshed.
Doesn't know how, has never even been, like, he was just given this guitar, like, recently. He has no idea about anything about guitars, but he's not even really the guitarist. He's a good singer, and that's, like, his role in
this. Yeah, for sure. But
so it's not like he just picked up a guitar and was a brilliant player or anything.
No, and I like that. And I like that he's not, like, a genius off the bat. Like, that would have been so annoying. But his level of incompetency is just, like, unrealistic. But, again, it's a small thing, like, super small thing.
One quick question. You mentioned some math rock at the beginning. Is that kind of overall the kind of music they play, or is it a little more pop
rock? The band definitely plays more pop, like pop punk. Like, now I don't want to say pop punk like that, but it's more pop to it. But I think that's when they're playing, like, their band stuff. But when they were just jamming,
the experienced guys were showing what level of musicianship they do have.
Exactly. And I think it was like a legit math rock riff.
Heck,
it was
sick,
dude.
I'm excited to check it out. I'm very excited.
You should watch it for sure, because the drumming in that part was pretty sick too. So Yeah. Okay, that's it. That's given. Passed.
Passed.
Should it be me or Mason? Which would you want to go first, Mason? Oh, no, you don't have one, do you?
I got nothing today. I've got my feet up. I'm relaxing, hearing all of your guys'
takes. Do you
want
me to go next, or do you want to do Copcraft?
I'll just do Copcraft.
Okay.
So Copcraft is a cop crime drama, basically, that's done by, by Studio Millipensi, which we've been through this a few times, but they don't have like a very diverse background. You know, they've done like a million TQ seasons, and they did the remake of Berserk, which no one liked. So, you know, great track record. And the director is Shin Itagaki. Now, Shin Itagaki has done some stuff. Now, he's been around the block a few times. He directed Basquatch, which some people might remember because it's got the robots, the giant robots that about like play basketball on Nike shoes. He did Bento, which a lot of people liked because it's like that silly show about fighting over food in the convenience stores, and I completely can relate to that. He directed both seasons of the new Berserk, so unfortunately, he directed Black Cat. He's done a lot of stuff. I mean, he's done a lot of things. And aside from that, he's just got a ton of credits behind his name as well. He also directed all the TQ stuff, so he clearly works for the studio. Copcraft is this story where a gate has opened up over the Pacific Ocean, and the gate connects this other world called Reto Semani, and it's kind of hard to pronounce. And think of it as like, I'm thinking of it as like Record of Lodoss War almost. It's like, it's this, or like, or the slime anime. It's like, it's this fantasy, it's this other world, but it's clearly like elves and gnomes and all that. You know, it's very, very much like the otherworldly sort of races of creatures that you read about in books and Lord of the Rings.
This sounds like something else we've seen. It sounds like Gate.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah, except it's, thankfully, it's not.
It does.
So, yeah, because Gate is, because Gate's like fan servicey and, you know, tropey, like out the wazoo.
It's just that.
Yeah. And you got like little moe girls and like frilly maid skirts swinging scythes around and shit. So, but in this anime, Copcraft, essentially the world, the gate is there, and there's a lot of different races of beings that coexist with humans in this world, in this city called Santa Teresa City. And as the description of the anime says, there's 2 million immigrants living in the city, and there's a lot of crime in the city. And thus is the setting. It's like this crime-ridden black market. You know, lots of seedy stuff going on. I almost think of it as like the town that that Black Lagoon takes place in. You know, because it's like there's all this crime happening. And in this town, there's a cop named Kei Matoba. And right off the bat, at the beginning of the first episode, they're getting ready. They're like undercover, and they're getting ready to like buy this this ferry from these other guys, and it's illegal to sell these. It's like it's almost like human trafficking, right? So they're selling this ferry. It's in a jar, but they're cops and they're undercover, and they reveal that they're cops. And then there's like a scuffle, and Kei Matoba's partner dies, and you know it's sad. He has to tell the family, you know, oh, you know, your family, your father's dead or whatever. It's sad. And they assign to him another partner, and in what is admittedly a little tropey, her name is Talarna. Her last name's impossible to say. I'm not even going to bother. But her name's Talarna, and she's a knight from the other world, and it's more or less a little girl. I mean, she looks about 14, maybe. But she's like pretty. She's strong. She's fast. She's kind of sassy. Her character design is quite nice. Like I'm looking at it right here. It looks pretty nice. She's great with a sword. And she's basically there because she is trying to get back the ferry that was lost in that drug deal. And the ferry is like a noble lineage, I guess. And so they're trying to retrieve that ferry. And basically that's what's happening. And the last two episodes of the anime are like a lot of sort of crime drama stuff. Like they're doing, like they're interviewing people, investigating people, and you know, he's trying to keep the little girl in line because she doesn't really know the world very well, so she's kind of getting into trouble and doing things the wrong way. And the basic plot line that unfolds through the first three episodes is that the chief of police, it's kind of like predictable, but the chief of police is working with the bad guys to,
okay.
And they're using the fair, they're using all these fairies that they've collected to make this bomb, B-O-M-B, that doesn't like blow things up, but it makes like a psychic effect that can like enslave people. So like there's this guy in the anime okay. that can use the effect of this toxin or whatever to make people do whatever they want. And there's a scene where like these two police officers come up on this pier and they're kind of like what are you guys doing out here on this pier? And they set off like a small scale bomb as a demonstration. And the cops get like their minds taken over and they end up killing each other and the one commits suicide. And the reason why it's very like xenophobic, but like the reason why the chief of police is like in on this is because the other world, the inhabitants, which are just like flooding into flooding in like without mm-hmm. ceasing, their lifespan is a lot longer than humans. And so his fear is he's like, you know, people don't know this is happening, and even they don't know it's happening, like the immigrants. But in a few years, in a couple of generations, they will take over our world because their lifespan is so much longer than ours that they will outlast us, and they will be the one. They will innately take us over because we're gonna, you know, their population is vastly going to outnumber ours. So he wants
That's
to set
such
off
a flawed mentality. Oh my god!
He wants to set off this bomb in the city. To scare people and create like fear mongering, I guess, to start a movement to like shut the gate off or close it or whatever. Which I guess like his train of thought kind of makes sense. I mean, if I live 150 years and you live 50 years, like yeah, I mean you're gonna die and I won't and I'll be here. But it's just very cliche that the chief of police kind of shows up at the end of the third episode and kind of. Backstabs Kay while he's investigating, and you know, of course, it's the chief of police. So it's, I like the premise of the show a lot. It's not really like anime tropey, really all that much, to be honest. Even though the little girl in it is, she's not really that little. I mean, she's about 14. I mean, I don't know, but it's not animated that well, and the story is interesting, but it's kind of hit or miss, to be honest. It's not like the greatest thing I've ever watched. But like I'm interested in it, and I kind of want to see where they go with the premise. So I'm gonna pass the show. I pass it. Like I think that there's some like good possibility here for it, and I like to see like a crime drama that's like actually about, you know, police doing investigating and not, you know, that with like a bunch of other crap thrown in. So
right.
I'm gonna pass it. So yeah.
Cool.
All right. Yeah. Passing. Here we go.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
What the fuck was that one?
Back-to-back passes.
I didn't think I'd pass this show, to be honest, but, you know, I think I slept on it for a week or two, and I think I'm okay.
And that drop is from Glorious Bastards.
Okay.
There you go.
It's a new one, though, right?
Yeah.
We've had that for a while.
It's new as of a couple, like, seasons ago.
Okay.
All right. So there you go. Cop craft.
Mandy, okay. Do you want to go last, Mandy?
Well shouldn't we go Enzo, Mandy, more. Enzo?
Yes.
Well, yeah. know, but like, I know Mandy has prepared a.
Oh,
a
no,
lot.
No, no. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go. I'm going to do Enen no Shibutai, Jobutai next, which is Fire Force.
Fire Force
has had a lot of hype behind it, a super lot of hype, especially because the choreo director is very well known and it shows. It really shows. Like, Fire Force, I guess really quickly, is about it's a world where we are dealing with like fire demons and shit, and we have a special line of firefighters that have, you know, some powers that can fight these demons. One particular person, the main character, his name is Shinra. He can use fire himself, and so that makes him a little special. But anyway, so that's the main overall premise of the show, and which I think is cool. And also the aesthetic is awesome. Like, the aesthetic of the firefighters is dope. You know, I never thought I would look at a firefighter and be like, yo, that shit's dope. Like, that outfit goes hard, but it does. And with all that, the animation is amazing. Like, the animation, it is fluid.
It looks good. The fighting is so smooth. Like, so smooth. It's crazy how smooth it is. Like, David Production or whatever this, like, thing, yeah, Studios David Production, like, they went off. They went off because it's fluid as hell. And it's also just framed very well. All the shots are solid. Where this show is, like, really weak in, though, like, really weak in, like, unfortunately, is at the moment story. Nothing really there for me yet. Like, there is an underlying big bad that kind of reveals. The first episodes deal with a lot of Shinra's past. You know, a very shonen opening where the main character has a dark past. You know, he lost people he loved, so he's, you know, going for redemption and shit. Very shonen, like textbook shonen character intro. But that's really all you get in the first three episodes. So perhaps there's more to come. I mean, there is more to come, but at the moment, it's not. I'm not hooked on the story. Secondly, the characters feel so like Control C, Control V, fam. Like, it's like they just took like Naruto, but like put him in like a fire world, and like that's what this feels like. I don't know. The personalities aren't there, and on top of all that, like, it's just in episode 3, for example, and I know a lot of people agreed with me when I said this on Twitter, and like that tweet came out of just a blind like I couldn't say it. Like, I was so fucking disappointed. Like, this Shinra, the main dude, is talking to a general who he potentially recognizes from his memory of when he dealt with that shit in the past, of whatever he went through, and he's trying to talk to this guy, and then he walks away, and then out of nowhere, this, you know, girl that works for that general comes up to him and says, like, hey, like, don't talk to my general like that. And for no reason, like, Shinra just goes for her boob and grabs it and squeezes it, and then he pulls away, and his reasoning was like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. Verbatim. Oh, I didn't mean it like that. Like, what else did you mean, fam? Like,
I think maybe it has something to do with that character. Like, she invites that, but it's still a fucking stupid.
No, it's still
reason.
Dumb. It's just dumb. So, yeah. I was already not feeling the story, and I was not interested by the characters whatsoever. The premise is a little weak for now. It is weak right now. It hopefully will not be weak. Beautiful animation is not enough for me. Like, I'm a huge story guy. Anyone that's ever talked to me about anime knows that story is number one. With characters and story are number one for me. So I unfortunately, I'm going to have to fail the shonen that was hyped this season, one of the shonen that was hyped this season, in Fire Force. Like, I'm failing Fire Force, dudes. Damn.
Let me just back you up by saying that I'm kind of glad that you didn't pass this, because
it sucks, dude.
Aesthetically,
like, yeah, same.
Aesthetically, this show didn't hit with me at all. Like, I was annoyed by everything that this show, like, brought to the table in terms of visuals. Like, animation aside completely. Like, right off the bat, totally turned off by the just shark teeth. I cannot look at that. Like, I just can't. I look at it and I'm like, what am I looking at? It's like Chain Chomp from Mario. It's ridiculous. And all of their fireman outfits are just,
I like them.
I hate, I mean, absolutely.
I love it. I would rock that shit today.
Aesthetically, this show was an F- for me. I mean, everything else aside, just the look of it.
Which looked better, this firefighter show or the, you know, other firefighters?
The one with no uniforms.
The naughty
exactly.
one?
The one with the, hey, yeah.
I mean, the naughty firemen, they're wearing real firemen uniforms. Like, they look like firemen.
For accuracy. Favorite.
They're just getting yes. busy in another way at night, and it's not putting out fire.
They're putting out a different kind of fire,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I agree. I love the first episode because the animation was stunning. I was like,
ridiculous.
Fuck, yeah. Even if I don't, I'm not really solid on what's happening, it's fun to watch. And then the second episode, I was like, it's okay. And the third one was like a no deal for
it's
me.
It's definitely
I just
the kind of
it.
Show where you just go to Sakugo Boru, once it finishes, right. And it's like, exactly. Oh, let me look at all these super cuts of great animation.
Yeah.
I'm 1,000%.
Sakuga-wise, it's packed. Oh, it is great shit in it.
Sakuga out the ass. Like, I'm definitely gonna fucking be on YouTube watching these fights as they come out later, but, like, I have no interest in the story.
Just make a bunch of dope AMVs to it.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Give me that.
Do you guys like the shark teeth crap?
I mean, I love it.
Rin, so yes.
No.
Good point. It's fucking brutal.
Good point. You like Rin. It doesn't bother me. I do want to say that maybe, like, in just a quick, like, commentary on, like, where I'm at in life, maybe it's because I'm older now. Like, that shit, like, it just doesn't hit. Like, it, like, my level, my standard for story, I think, is just higher. And, like,
Shonen, baby.
I am a little boy.
Both you and Mason are the babies.
You've grown up and you've seen enough anime that you're not satisfied.
I'm not impressed by cookie cutter, you know?
By, like, boob grab jokes and shit like that, you know? It's just not interesting.
Even without that, it's just like the story hooks weren't there, fam.
It happens to all of us. Like, you know, if you, like, back in, like, 15 years ago, if you went and watched Love Hina when you were 10 or 11, you probably think it was awesome. But now, if you watch Love Hina
was one of my favorites when I was 10.
If you watch it now, you'll be like, what was I thinking? Like, wow. Because the whole show is like just sexual jokes and people being punched and, like, turning into little stars in the sky. It's just goofy. Oh, yeah. So anyway, for reference, Copcraft was I know we're not done yet. Copcraft was the third choice of people listening for the season for passing.
Interesting.
Fire Force was a close second to Vinland Saga, to Dr. Stone. So Vinland Saga and Dr. Stone were tied for first, then Fire Force. So you got some. NT's got some balls snuffing out the flames of Fire Force.
And it's funny because I texted Mandy and I was like, yo, Mandy, like, is it okay to fail Fire Force? Like, will the people hate me? And she was like, just do it, fam.
Then you gotta do it.
I was like, I don't care.
You do it. If nothing else, it makes you not predictable.
I think people that know my taste would understand and not be shocked that I failed Fire Force, you know?
That you heard earlier was my Spirited Away bank just decided to go off.
Mandy, you're haunted and you know it. Your apartment's haunted and you know it. You're in denial.
I was like,
you're in denial about it.
I should mute myself. Fucking No Face was like, ah.
Damn. Call an exorcist. All right. Yeah. Now I think we've got a Mandy.
Oh, I'm ready. Okay. I'm so ready.
Are you going to go off? All right. Angry music drop ready.
This one is for the Mom Isekai show. Do you love your mom and her two-hit multi-target attacks? I've seen a bunch of different translations of this title. That's the one that I decided to go with. But so this one, I was... Okay, so it's a light novel adaptation. And is being adaptated by JC Staff. My brain. I'm Mandy. So sorry. I caught myself afterwards. I'm like, why do I love that say,
Mandy
fake
is a
word?
Very Mandy is very literate and articulates very well. Today she's just off.
Adaptated. I meant adapted, because that's the fucking word I wanted to use. Anyways. So this, I think I've already, the rage in me has already built up and melted my brain. Anyways, but this is a story about a boy named Masato, and he randomly signed a piece of paper. He had no idea what it was, but this woman shows up at his house and says, "We would like you to test out our new video game." And she's like, "Would you like to do this? How do you want to live in a game?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm a teenage boy. Of course I would." And so she says, "Okay, great." Boom. And then this point is already stupid to me, because I would have accepted it if she was like, "Oh, cool. We're going to give you this VR set." Like, even if it was like, you know, Sword Art Online style, like, this put on this headset that boom, you're in a game. I would have appreciated that, but she's like, "Okay, great," and types in a random code into his computer, and boom, he's sucked into a game. I was like,
"What?
How?
Dude, what kind of technology? What the fuck?"
Yeah, and so he's in a game. He's like, "Great! Oh, I can't wait to go."
I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
So he's like, great, I'm inside a game. I can't wait to go on this adventure. And then all of a sudden he hears, wait. Turns around, his mom is now in the game. She's like, I told you to wait for me. And the woman also put her into this game. Her name, there's a lot of mom puns in this as well. Like all of the cities and areas are named like stupid mom puns to them.
Sure.
Her name is Mamako.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm.
There's like a hot spring called Mother's Milk. It's fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, at this point, they go up to the place where they get their first quest, and they pick out their first weapons. Masato picks up a sword, is like, great, I'm gonna use this. And then Mamako picks up the other two swords, and all of a sudden she can wield two like legendary weapons. And when they go through the tutorial, of course she knows nothing about video games at all, so she's excited by everything she's doing. And but she's like just tearing through enemies, and Masato of course is being little shit, like, man, my mom is more powerful than me, this isn't fun. So at this point in the story, this is pretty much what I expected, because I really wanted an isekai about a mom and her son bonding through a video game. I was like, I'm willing to overlook the whole stupid way they got into this game if I just get some more wholesome, heartwarming moments of these two bonding together, going on an adventure, him appreciating his mom, her being an overpowered badass, because we don't get any really, really powerful women like you say, guys, hardly.
Oh, yeah.
So
hardly.
I was excited.
Here comes.
Then the second episode happened.
Here it comes, dude.
Here
oh
it comes.
God.
Oh my God.
So it starts off, the second episode starts off with Masato is like, we need to have a party. So we need to recruit people to our party so we can go on adventures. Because that's what
I'm
you
so
do
nervous.
In an RPG
I'm
MMO.
I'm so nervous, Mandy. You sound so pissed.
But Mamako isn't looking at this as like, we want to recruit people for our team. She wants to recruit a wife for Masato. She's like, oh, let's interview all these girls, put out all these girl profiles. Let's find you a wife.
Mm-hmm.
So they start doing their interviews. The first woman or girl, I think she's probably a teenager, but she is a warrior. And Mamako automatically fails her. She's like, you hit too hard. No. So already okay. She doesn't like powerful women. The second one was a thief, and I'll give her that. She's like, you seem to be, you know, a shady person. No, I'll give her that. Fucking thief stealing shit. Of course, I give that. The third one was so offensive because an elf priestess comes up, and she's like, an elf? Ew. And fails
what?
Her for just being an elf. Oh, look, no. I have spent 13 years of my life as a night elf hunter. I'm offended.
Let him have it, man. Let him have it.
No, but sorry, we know she's also an elf racist. Anyway, that's stupid anyways. But so then they do finally find their party. There's this other girl who joins them. She's the typical tsundere, fucking cliche. And she is also looking for her, like she has been separated from her mom. Because there's other testers in this game who have been sucked in there with their mothers. So she is also without her mother. And then there's another girl there who we haven't really learned anything about. She's just a very shy, very, you know, that typical trope of a girl who's scared of everything kind of. But then they go on their first quest. And already they get sucked, like they're walking along and they fall down in a hole. And as they're falling, they both, Masato and the other girl, accidentally grab Mamako's chest. Accidentally, because there's no fucking way this could have ever been an accident.
Right.
They just grab her chest as she's falling. And then they run into a slime. And in the most, like, tropey, etchy shit, the slime throws slime at Mamako and starts to burn away her clothes.
Of course.
And so now she is naked, but Masato, her son, trips and slime falls on her. And now there is this whole awkward, oh, I fall on my mom, I can't get up. And Mamako blushing. And then there's a lot of sounds and movements to make you think something else is happening. It's,
no.
Yeah.
With his mother?
Yes, with his mother.
Oh.
And there was because in the genres, there was never a moment that said this is an ecchi. If I had known that, I would have avoided this. But I, at that point, I had already checked out, but I have to watch 3 episodes for my impression. Third episode.
Oh my god.
Mamako needs new armor, so she's trying on all of this very scantily clad armor for, and she's showing it off to her son. Her son's just embarrassed the entire time. Like, Mom, why?
I mean,
like,
look, she is just, look good, feel good.
That's she is like half naked in all of these. And then they go to the hot spring, Mother's Milk.
Of course.
And
what
Masato, I'm sorry, Mamako wants Masato to come into their hot spring with the other two ladies. So they're all naked together.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And after that, we do learn a bit more about the other girl's mother. We find out that her mother is a garbage person. She spends all her money on host clubs, ignores her daughter, named her daughter after her favorite host. And in this world, she now has a male harem, and she doesn't, she's not even looking for a daughter, doesn't care anything about what's going on with her. She's just living her best male harem life, and she's a horrible fucking person. But Mamako tells her, tells the girl, oh, no, any amount of, you know, if you guys just keep bonding, you'll overcome this.
Oh my God, I hate her.
No.
Dude, I fucking hate her, dude.
No. Like, it's that, oh, that pissed me. That's the part that pissed me off the most. Like, I don't care if you're like, I understand, oh, family bonds, we're all supposed to love each other no matter what. But if your mother or parent is being very abusive towards you, you don't have to keep trying.
Yeah,
no, like, you don't have her to do advice shit. To her, like, if you just keep trying, your mother will come around. No, she ignores her, named her after her favorite host, spends all her money on host clubs. She's a garbage person. And you don't have to stick around with that.
Nope. You never do.
It pissed me off a lot.
I think the entire review could have been summed up by that audible shudder we heard, like, as you just recoiled from, like,
yeah,
the realization of what you just said. Yeah.
Just like, yeah. It was... Yeah. Awful. If you love this, I am so sorry. Well, no, actually, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry for fucking hate it because I think it's terrible. But I'm sorry if I made you sad. But I, for sure, failing this, it was awful.
I
gave it a 0.5 on.
Damn.
I saw that. Damn. I fucking died laughing when I saw that. I died laughing.
Had we had to score it, it would have been that low.
And also, I have been warned that from people who have read the light novel, it goes full incest. I don't even care about spoiling it. So.
Yeah, I don't give it. Yep. Nope. Exit,
full
baby.
Incest. Holy shit.
Shame. Full incest.
Like,
shame. Save it for the hentai people.
Shame.
My God.
Shame. Shame.
There's a time and a place for incest, and it's called hentai. For some reason. For some reason. I don't even know why it's there.
So,
but it didn't even say ecchi in the genres.
It doesn't. No. And I remember,
so that's why I was so misled. Yeah. That's probably why I hated it even more. If I had known that was coming, I probably have been like, okay, I know what to expect. But
I remember you and I talking on an episode together on the podcast where we were just like, yo, this could be cool because we don't, like, isekai, as always, has a premise, is a good idea, but it's just not innovated enough on it. And, like, we were like, yo, like, this one's with a mom. Like, that's cool.
Yeah. Damn. Maybe it's because I was so excited about it that I was super let down.
I was actually excited too, but
yeah,
whatevs. Yeah.
I mean, I think objectively it would have let us all down anyway. Like, regardless of expectation, bro. Like, there's no way any four of us are gonna look at this and be like, "Oh, great! Like, you're playing at incest with your mother. Great, let's keep going."
Yeah,
you know? Fuck that. Fuck that noise. Anyway, the last one we're going to do an impression on is good old Dr. Stone, which is our listeners' most anticipated one tied with Vinland Saga.
Yep.
And also very kind of like well, people are looking forward to it on the internet also. Dr. Stone is an anime where one day everyone in the world was turned to stone for reasons that I'm sure in the future will be made clear. For reasons, everyone's turned to stone for 3,700 years, and we follow I guess the secondary main character in Taiju, and Taiju wakes up from the stone sleep. He's like, whoa. And then he finds his way and finds out that his friend, Senku, is also awake. And Senku is the main character. You can, I suppose you would call him Dr. Stone. But again, not sure if that's who that is. But Senku is a brilliant, like, scientist kid who is very well versed in like chemistry and all that stuff, and just well knowledge and a lot of knowledge like all around. So together they spend a year figuring out what it is that cures the stone that can bring people back from stone, because while you are stone, your consciousness is still up. So
oh my god, these people, that sucks.
Yeah, these people were up and awake for 3,700 years.
That has to suck.
Yeah, that sucks for sure. And I one thing, you know, just because this is a good example of like, just like when you think about the systems of writing, like when you have a character wake up after 3,700 years, they don't just wake up. Like, it's not like you were frozen and you just woke up one day. Like, you had to have gone through some mental trauma, right? Like loss of purpose, loss of self, loss of time, like loss of all that stuff is crazy. Like, you go insane thinking about, like, with all that stuff. So, but these guys woke up like no big deal, which to me rubbed me the wrong way. But hey, it's animu. You gotta look past that shit.
It's animu.
So, It's animu. So they wake up. But here's the thing. I'm very much enjoying the show because I'll spoil it a little bit because it's very early on, but they figure out how to wake people up, and they wake up two people. They wake up the girl that Taiju is in love with, and they wake up a different high schooler who was known to be like the strongest high schooler out there and they enlist him to help them out, you know, in survival and stuff. And the guy they wake up presents an ideology, and it conflicts with the three other characters' ideology about how they're going to save the world. And I love that. I love a conflict of ideology. That is something that I always look forward to, because they both mean well in terms of the saving of humanity, but there's very different ways in how they want to go about it. So at the end of episode 3, you see the first bout of conflict between the characters with this, and then they move on from that, and you know, now we're going to go forward with the show. But a couple things that really also draw me in is they use the mechanic of montages to show the passage of time, and they do it really well. They do about, there were like 3 montages in the first episode about the time passing while they're in stone, the building the little village between Taiju and Senku together, and also when they travel out of their camp. Really well done montages. I think a good montage is when you clearly demonstrate passage of time, but also at the same time develop characters with no words being done, like no words being said, and like it was really, really well done montages to show that. So I am very happily and also very curious about where the show's gonna go. So I'm happily passing Dr. Stone, which I made it my number one because it's a premise I hadn't tackled in the past, and also because it had a lot of hype in the community. But I'm very satisfied with it so far. So episodes 1 through 3 were pretty fucking good. So, but I will say though, characters from here on out have to be written well, because I can see them becoming very bland also.
All right.
So yeah, but for now, totally passing Dr. Stone.
Yes. Now this is going to be a good story.
Wow, we got 3 passes today.
Yeah, I just want to one up. I really like your points about the montage use, because it really shows that they are interested in presenting the most interesting part of the story as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It felt like I wasn't wasting my time to get there.
No, exactly. So. Dude, the pacing of that show, of the first episode specifically,
was great.
Super good. Super. They covered a lot in those 25 minutes of the first episode really well, for sure. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do a recap here. So far we've passed 6 shows, which is pretty good. We passed the dumbbell anime. We passed Copcraft. We passed O Maidens in Your Savage Season, Dr. Stone, Given, and Vinland Saga. But we have five more to go, which is Lord Elmeloe 2.
Well, before you
possibly,
do that, real quick.
Possibly.
Right. Before you do that, I want to say my original number two pick was Modao Zushi Season 2. But when I had to replace it because they said it was delayed, it didn't come out in July like it was supposed to. So I replaced it with Case Files, which is the Fate spinoff. But I had just been told today that apparently they dropped episodes 1, 2, 3. They're currently still only in Chinese. So if they put up an English subtitle one, I will be doing that next week because that was my number two pick. And I love the first season and really want to talk about it.
Okay, so
if it comes out and subtitled, all right, so I'll be doing Modao Zushi. If not, I'll be doing Case Files.
All right, so given that, we also have Tri Nights. Is it wrong to pick up Girls in a Dungeon Season 2? Bem and Yami Shibai 7. So those are what...
Season 7.
Season 7. Yeah, thank you very much, yeah. So that is what's left. And we'll probably have a retro in there, at least one retro anime. So, but... yeah, that's just your update on impressions. Let's get through these two mailbag questions real quickly.
It's time for an almighty anime mailbag. Anime. Anime. Anime.
Mailbag. If you want to leave a mailbag, and by the way, I added something to the mailbag button earlier this week because somebody was asking about it. I added a retro review request option. So,
oh, good idea.
So when we're trying to pick from like shows that to propose to have a retro review done on, you can, if you pick one that we like and we haven't done it yet, then we may do it. First mailbag, given that, is from Dr. Ryan Sharp, who writes, Ohio, AAA Overlords, I happened upon this podcast a few weeks ago and burned through about 80 episodes so far. Damn.
Good.
Have you read this one already?
I don't think so.
No, we haven't.
No? Okay.
Love the show, but it's not me. You see, people just burn through all the episodes really quickly quite often.
That's so crazy, man.
Love the show. It's not only made my anime addiction worse, but the podcast, addiction too. For that, I thank you. Now, for the what is this word? Obiescence is out of the way.
Yeah, I believe yes.
It's like a polite sucking up and giving thanks or something.
If you were a professor teaching anime appreciation 101, what would your syllabus consist of?
I actually really like all of our answers. I love all of our answers for this.
I love this. It's something that we haven't done, so it's really fun.
This is a great fucking question, by the way.
And I just say,
also, thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you. My first class would be Purging the Moe Filth, taught in the Church of Mitsugi by the Pope himself. And why it's common sense that Studio Ghibli is and always will be totally unmatched, taught by the Pope Mitsugi himself as well.
Of course, of course.
Of course.
You already have a primer on that course earlier this episode.
Yeah, dude.
Talking about Kiki's.
I'm telling you what,
if you want more of that.
You have got to go. You have got to see these movies in theaters. Like, you don't even get to watch anime in theaters, let alone Ghibli. Yeah. So for God's sake, get out and watch it.
I want to say, it's not even just for the visual, it's for the sound, okay? Ghibli's music is phenomenal.
Oh, my
and
God.
Let those speakers wrap you in that shit in the theater, dude.
Joe Hisaishi is a legend. He's a legend.
It's beautiful.
I would pay serious money to see a Joe Hisaishi concert where he's performing.
Dude, I would cry beginning to end.
I would drop serious Ball cash money, for that. Yeah.
What's the movie he just did the soundtrack to?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I think it's Children of the Sea.
Oh, I'm going to have to go check that out for sure.
Anyway, what else you guys got on this?
Mason, you up?
Yeah, I'll go. So I had a couple classes. Class number one is Art versus Animation. Mm-hmm. It's a primer on the aesthetics through a medium of subjective virtues. We're going to talk about my boy, Masaaki Yuasa, Studio Trigger, and Studio Shaft.
I'll
be in this class for sure.
Next class is Deconstructing the Deconstructions.
Oh, no. Is this from last week?
Sort of. It's a deep dive, a deep analysis into what makes Because so many times
intellectuals only, man.
Yeah, exactly. But so many people say, like,
"Shitting on me for saying
this show's a deconstruction." No. I feel like on all these like anime message boards, people constantly are saying, "Oh, this is a deconstruction show. This is a deconstruction," and it's never quite right. So, this is really talking about what it means. So get in on that so you don't look like a doofus online.
Damn, bring in the heat.
No, Mason, let him know.
The next one, I'm calling it the speed of visual sound. This is eyeball training to prepare you to read subtitles at blistering speeds.
Yes. So you'll be watching.
Because you'll be watching.
Tatami Galaxy. Times 2 speed.
Mm-hmm. That and Monogatari series.
Monogatari.
You watch an episode and you get tested on like all the quick flash second black screens text.
It'll be on the test.
Yes. You will need to study. And then finally, just because of the name, the JoJo Dojo.
I will be in this one.
Where we talk about stand feasibility, muscle and posing gains, and the appreciation of rock music.
Does it have a textbook?
The Holy Araki. Yeah, he'll make something special for us.
I'll be there, and I'll have to buy the textbook.
Yeah, I'm subscribed to all these classes so far. Like, my curriculum is getting full.
Even the Moe Filth class?
Oh, yes, because here's the thing. In order to fight the enemy, you have to be educated on the enemy. So I'm going to take your class.
Are you going
to
join the Church of Mitsuki? Class.
I'm not. I'm still an archangel of the but
I forgot about that.
But sometimes angels turn their back. Shout out Lucifer, baby.
Sometimes they ascend, sometimes they descend.
Shout out Lucifer, my guy.
Shout out my boy Ryuji from Devilman.
He too was beautiful in an emo way, I guess. I don't really know.
Oh my god. Shout out Ryuji, dude. All right, Mandy, would you like to go?
My first class is voice recognition. We're going to study all those sweet voices from all the best seiyu, so you can also learn how to spot a seiyu from, like, a grunt.
Yeah, like Mandy does. Y'all think she's kidding. I hear one word.
I'm like, that's that person. I know exactly who you are.
Actually, Mandy, it's funny. At my meetup yesterday at the Plug Brooklyn Anime Meetup, we meet every other week. Haha. Anyway, there was a girl there, her name was Maria, and she was like, yeah, I'm like really into the voice actors. I was like, you should be friends with my friend Mandy, because she will talk to you for eons about that.
The next one is cyborgs and postmodernism. We're going to talk about Ghost in the Shell.
Yep.
Yeah.
Postmodernism, baby.
The next one is Healing Heart. We're going to learn how just Natsume heals all pain in this world.
All pain.
And we're going to make you feel good. We're going to make you feel loved. Yeah. And we're going to make friends in this class.
It's just yoga class.
And we're going to share bookmarks.
Yes. Aww. We actually did that.
I know.
Anime NYC, we all traded bookmarks. And then the last one is Joy of Trash, learning how your taste is trash, but that's okay.
But that's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Self-love, you know? Damn. All right.
The actual textbook before that is just on a crumpled piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's just a crumpled piece of paper for the textbook for that class. It's literal trash.
I have two classes. I only wrote one down because I just forgot to write the other one. But my class is one. I have one that I really think anime viewers that want to watch anime with an objective eye need to learn is story and maintaining stakes throughout an entire arc. Many times in anime, we'll have great stakes that are set up at the beginning that just fall flat in delivery or just pure ignoring of what was set up in the past. And that ruins the show for me really fast. And some people don't see it. So, like, I think if you watch The Promised Neverland, that's a beautiful example of stakes being introduced episode one and then relieved in literally the last episode because they were maintained the entire time. That's a exhibit A of how it's done. So that's my one class. We're gonna read through scripts, we're gonna read through, you know, plot synopses, all that stuff. We're gonna get in there, get in the words. And then for my second class is gonna be music research class. so that we will look into a lot of early rock, early music that influenced a lot of the music in shows. For example, for Kids on the Slope, we're going to look into Art Blakey. We're going to look into John Coltrane. We're going to look into Chet Baker, all those things. We're going to look into that so that when we watch the anime again, we have a deeper appreciation for the show. Yeah.
You know what else we need?
We need
an entire class, because it's going to take an entire class to do this. Mm-hmm. Like an entire year of class. Mm-hmm. We're just going to watch Legend of the Galactic Heroes. That's it.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
all you do. Just come. Yeah. We're going to watch it. One episode per class.
Oof, deep dive.
It's gonna take maybe two, because hour long class. We're gonna watch two. It's gonna, yeah. We might have to split it into two classes.
This is just a whole. it just takes two semesters, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, easy mode. But yeah, so I don't know about y'all, but like if this was a real school, like. Sick.
Welcome to anime school.
Sign up. It's called the Discord.
Right.
Maybe I should start a music club on the Discord.
No.
No.
So many clubs.
Yeah, let's not do that. Okay.
Right. I mean, it's not a bad idea.
All right. So I'm going to put the kibosh on the last mailbag for now because we're running really late. So
the kibosh.
But we'll do it next time. Okay?
That fancy word.
Yeah. So.
Well, thank you, everyone who listened. Thank you. We made it.
We kicked ass today.
We did. I'm feeling good.
It was a bit of a slow start, but we got there.
We got there.
The hell with that shit. It wasn't slow.
Of me.
It was good. I'm sorry. I'm definitely rusty. I feel myself being like, yeah, I'm not good at this. I have to take 2 weeks off. God, ooh, I need some oil. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Go chow down some pizza. That'll
get us out of here.
Lubricate you.
Oof.
Get the veins flowing. You want to join us? We have so much stuff. Go to apodcast.com. .com/join. Those are words.
Uh-huh.
You get hentai episodes, hobby addicts, after parties, up to 8 additional podcast episodes.
Yes.
Go to iTunes. Man, look, guys, my brain is shot. iTunes. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to us. Help us be number one. Facebook, again. I see posts a lot of stuff on Twitter, which is apodcast.com or apodcast at Twitter. Yeah. Anyone want to shout shit out before we run away and I can finally fix my tongue?
Yeah, Twitter. You can find me at Enzo Badia, ENZOBADIA. Also, if you live in New York and you live in near Brooklyn, I'll come join the Brooklyn Anime Meetup. We are 400 members strong now. 400.
Damn.
It's a beautiful community of people that meet up every other week. It's awesome. Come join us. We hang out and have a good time.
I want that Naruto, I believe it, fan art. Meme.
Give it to
Make
him.
It happen.
Give it to
I
him.
I need
Make
to be
happen.
Fed.
Make it happen.
I'm at Mandy, AAA underscore Mandy with an I at Twitter, if you want to come and listen to shit my mom says.
Talk about them pizza party rolls.
Oh, yeah.
It's being those roly-poly pizzas.
Roly-poly pizzas, baby.
Mitz.
I'm at Pope Mitsugi on Twitter, but I'm a terrible follow, so you shouldn't follow me.
Just tell your friends. Subject your family.
All I do is like things about cryptocurrency and sports, so it's not really very interesting.
Oof. Big yikes. All right, guys, tell your friends about us. Spread the podcast love.
Thank you.
We love you so much. I miss being here. That's it.
And we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Sayonara.